Blog Talk Radio.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do I help you? All I need is my brother.
I'm the beast and the best in the world. Paul, say something stupid.
I look in the mirror and what do I see? Some kind of slacker looking back at me. Ain't nothing lost, can't be found, and it's never too late to change.
Talk radio, yeah. This is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling. I do believe, yeah, dig it, yeah.
Radio. This is the post-summit symposium edition of the show. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is, I guess he's my boss now. He's the commissioner, at least for now, of New Moon Rising Wrestling.
I have not been fired yet.
You haven't been fired, but after your... Well, after your judgment calls of the weekend, I'm not sure how much longer you're going to be in power. It is...
Don't know what you mean.
The above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico. How are you tonight, Dan?
I'm just doing fine. I made it out alive.
You did make it out alive. Matt Tremont scared the bejesus out of you.
Bejesus out of me.
That's the best way we can put it.
Yeah.
We're family-oriented.
Yeah. When you walk into the ring and you're expected to talk to you two, and then you turn around and... Matt Tremont coming on you.
No music.
Nothing. Just sneaks out there. That was a Freudian slip. Hey, you shut up over there. Anyway.
But, you know.
Good night, folks.
I don't know. I mean, are you back in power? Are you asked back? Do you know anything? I certainly hope not. I don't like calling you boss.
Well, you know, I certainly hope that they take you off your job then.
I don't like getting my envelope from you. It was a little lighter, if you catch my drift, this month.
It was lighter?
A little lighter.
I was supposed to make it heavier, considering you gave me the hug.
I did give you the hug. But anyway, moving right along.
Anyway, by the way, one of the scariest moments of my life is thinking you're still behind me and you're not. When Matt Tremont is.
Hey, I got it out of there as soon as I saw him come through the curtain.
God.
But also
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, also making the trip to New Jersey was Omega Squad Chris Green. He is our MMA and wrestling analyst. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing fantastic. Greetings and salutations, fine people.
That's right. Now, Omega, very quickly, because I have this package from the foundation I have to get to. Robert Knight sent something in. I haven't heard it yet. I'm I can't wait to hear it. But how did you enjoy the weekend coming up to New Jersey, taking in a Ring of Honor show and, of course, New Moon Rising Wrestling?
I thought it was a great weekend. I think we met a bunch of great people. At least I did, and most of you guys already knew. But you know, I'm glad we got a chance to interact with our fans, to find out that we actually do have fans. And you know, the wrestling was great. The good time all around.
We'll talk about MVPs of the weekend in just a moment. Who stole the show, so to say? I have my pick, but we'll get into that in a little bit later on, but I got to play this. I had to play it by 9:07. It's 9:06 right now, so I'm going to play this, and it was simply marked in a manila envelope as podcast rebuttal. I'm not sure what this is all about, so we're going to listen to it. Here we go.
The views and the opinions expressed by the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, are not those of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, or New Moon Rising Wrestling.
The Knight Rider, Robert Knight. It was brought to my attention last night a certain podcast was on the airwaves with Dan McDonald. Now, as soon as you hear his name, you know that the interview is going to be just about 100% fiction and a fraud, much like Dan is. But to start things off, the podcast itself, completely damaged, is hosted by a guy who, quite frankly, for as long as he's been doing interviews, comes off as a deer in headlights Mark who slowly starts to fall in love with his guests throughout the course of the interview. The guy is talentless to begin with. So he has on another talentless guy, Dan McDonald, who comes on to tell lie after lie after lie, putting over the Monster Factory, putting over himself as some guy who's even capable of training students. The entire thing was a joke. And anybody who takes him, the Monster Factory, or that podcast at face value after the garbage that was put on the airwaves last night needs their head examined, or they themselves are nothing more than a mark. The Monster Factory, he claims, has been in business for over 30 years. Well, does he subtract the 11 years that the Monster Factory was nothing more than a sign on the floor of OTW? Because that's 100% fact. There's pictures, there's video, there's everything else to prove that. What makes me angry about the situation is guys like Dan, guys who claim to want to be loyal to the promotion that trained them. If those guys wanted to be loyal to the promotion that trained them, they'd be working for Jim Mulineaux at OTW. Because Larry Sharp, Dan Cage had nothing to do with the training of these guys at the Monster Factory. When I attended the Monster Factory, it was a brotherhood of professional wrestlers who wanted to be something, who were bonded by the business and who were friends, and we trained with each other. That's what made the Monster Factory, not a logo on a wall, not living after past reputations. But to come out here and put other people down and claim that you know anything about the business when you've been sitting at home for the past 6 years is not right. To be taking money from students and brainwashing them when they know no better is not right. When you're paying your mortgage and you're flying guys in and paying them to book them on shows to trick the fans into buying tickets with students' money because you're only paying $600 a month rent to rent the corner of a high school boys' gym, that's not right. And the fans and other workers are being fooled and being hyped into believing the garbage that this guy's spewing. And I'm going to be one to come out and repeatedly tell everybody the truth of what's going on. I'm not afraid if I ever get booked anywhere else again, as long as I make an impact, maybe just on one person, and stop that fan from paying $10 to a shyster, a fraud, and a liar. And that's what anybody and everybody who works for the Monster Factory is nothing more than a mark who is working for a shyster and a fraud and a liar. Everything that that guy has to say is a lie, and if completely damaged wants to know a true story about something, tell him to call me. I'd be more than happy to come on and tell him the fact of everything that that guy supposedly said last night on that garbage podcast, because it was a lie, because everything he says is a lie, and I'm here to tell you that I'm going to expose him if it's the last thing that I do. Like I said, if I just make an impact on one person, then that's enough for me. Because I'm tired of sitting here and watching this guy. Oh, I talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I talked to Gerald Briscoe. Well, you talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I listened to Steve Austin's podcast, and I think it was an episode with Shane Helms where they were talking about breaking into the business and reputable wrestling schools. And the Monster Factory was not one of the schools that Stone Cold named. So they could be blowing smoke up your ass just the same way you do to everybody else. So if you can take your face out of Larry Sharp's crotch long enough to tell the truth, I'd be more than happy to go on any podcast, as low as it may be, and even if it is completely damaged, and hopefully the host doesn't fall in love with me like a deer in headlights like he does for everybody else, I'd be more than happy to join you there too, because you're a liar, a fraud, a shyster, and you and anybody that works for that promotion makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, that was the Knight Rider Robert Knight.
Christ.
And again, I'm going to have to say that the views and the opinions expressed by the Knight Rider Robert Knight are not those of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or New Moon Rising Wrestling. Now, this all came out apparently last Thursday. Dan McDonald was a guest on, or Danny Cage, whatever you want to call him, was a guest on Completely Damaged. I have no problem with Completely Damaged. I met the co-host at New Moon Rising Wrestling.
No, yeah, that's nothing against. I have nothing to say about Completely Damaged. I'm gonna. I don't know the guys. I have nothing at all to say. The other guys, though.
Well, you know, Robert. I guess he was a little steamed.
No.
Is the best way I could put it. I can put it.
Robert Knight breaking out the turbo boost.
No shit.
Jeez.
Yeah, he was a little upset.
he was let's call it miffed.
Yeah, so
miffed's a good word.
I get it, man. Listen, I know where Robert's coming from, and as mad as he's getting, I sit there and watch other people take credit for things that they're not doing when somebody else is working twice as hard as them. I wish I could put it as beautifully as Robert Knight did. It just...
Well, be that as it may, it's time to move on, Dan. It's time to move on and talk about the weekend. But before we do, we have such a guest. He gets his own theme music. And we'll bring him on right after this. From the United Kingdom. He doesn't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is in Great Britain, it is the great Harry Barnett. And Harry...
It's Super Wanker!
And Harry, how are you doing this fine evening?
Well, Dan, you know, it's great to be in the presence of the Dean of Credibility, the Dean of Introductions, and of the Omega Squad. I mean, that frick in the corner, the commissioner.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, he can fire you, Dean. He can't fire me for anything. So, you know,
I kick your ass for you.
Just like you did when I kicked you in the nuts and ran, huh?
No, you slapped me like a little girl and then went, and then ran away.
Anyway, Dean, we'll let you carry on with your show without Dan interrupting.
Yes, now, well, that's going to be an incredible feat if anyone can do that. Now,
no, fine, I'm done.
Now, let's talk about this past weekend. Of course, it was Brady Hicks and his in-the-room conclave, and it was also the Hell in a Cell first time getting together weekend bash. Now, your overall impression of the weekend, Harry, because, you know, you came all the way from England to come for this big weekend.
Well, just to correct you a minute there, Dean, that's not Brady Hicks's conclave. That's Brady Hicks and Big Earn. the weekend was just awesome. I mean, I'm not going to bullshit anyone. I paid 425 quid, and I'm going to say that I would have paid 4,250 quid to have come to that. It was awesome. It was worth the trip, and I may as well just announce it now. I'm coming back in January.
Coming back in January. Now, you're coming back for the On Point show as well as the next New Moon Rising Wrestling show that's in January. I believe the January show is like January 20th or something. And, of course, On Point, their first anniversary show, is the 4th.
Yep.
So,
two weeks.
Yeah, you're going to be down for 2 weeks. That's exciting. I offered you my couch if you decide to take it. But also, let's talk about this, break it down, and this is for you as well, Chris, because you were at the Ring of Honor show. How was the first night that you guys got in? You guys get in, and this great Ring of Honor show. I think it was both your first Ring of Honor shows that you've seen live.
Yeah, I was certainly mine, and I thought it was overall a good show. I mean, I think that crowd was crazy. Crazy hot all night. There was some really great talent in the ring and some really good matches.
And, of course, Adam Cole winning the world title for Ring of Honor. Harry, how did you feel about the Ring of Honor show?
Well, I would definitely say it was worth the price paid on pay-per-view. And not kidding. It was definitely worth going. I mean, like, I'm glad I paid for that and didn't get it free online because it really was worth it.
Yes, definitely there. And of course, the dark horse for you was Adam Cole, but he proved you and a lot of other people wrong.
I know, he was my number two, not to have sort of thing. Like, I didn't say I didn't want him, but, you know, I was more expecting Tommaso, maybe him, just I didn't want Elgin. I didn't want the predictable Elgin route. But, yeah, I'm glad he won it. I'm happy for him sort of thing, yeah.
I'm just amazed that we're still talking, that everybody's not unanimous about Adam Cole yet. The fact that he's still got, not detractors, but people like, I wouldn't have picked him, is still mind-boggling to me. I think he's that amazing.
My little man crush that, Dan.
He does wear impressive tights.
But anyway, I'm not sure where you guys are going with that. Now, the next day, of course, we filmed a commercial.
Well,
wait a minute.
No, Dean, you were saying, I didn't mean to cut you off. You were saying that you don't agree with me?
I'm not saying that at all. I think Adam Cole should probably be in Florida right now, but that's not up to me. That's not up to anybody else.
Oh, all right. I misunderstood what you were saying. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to move on.
I agree.
Go ahead. I'll shut up.
Yeah. But the next day, we, of course, shot some commercials. Harry was there. We actually shot a commercial for What's Wrong with Wrestling. Shot a few commercials.
I must say.
Yes, that's going to be I can't wait to see that one come out.
And may I say about that day, we had, it was you, me, Justin, and five people in the room, and we banged out how many commercials? Four?
Three or four.
Three or four in an hour? I mean, it was really the brainstorming power in the room, as you stated, Dean, was pretty phenomenal, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with that. Later on that day, of course, we did the Summit Symposium with two of our biggest fans. Of course, that's Bill Olson and George Burr. Heard some of their stories, some interesting stories there, and found out that George actually found the podcast on his own and became a New Moon fan through the power of this podcast. So that was great to see. Go ahead.
Real quick, I'm sorry because we did not mention it live. I do want to thank the staff of the Deer Park Fire Company in Cherry Hill, Station 8, for letting us use their facilities during the Fan Summit Symposium. And for any information on the Deer Park Fire Company, go to deerparkfire.org.
That's right. So go, what is it again, Dan?
Deerparkfire.org.
That's right. So go there. Check out. It's a rehab unit. It's a very interesting thing. We even got a tour of the fire trucks afterwards, which was, an added bonus to the Summit Symposium.
I mean, everybody, and that I did not expect, but I forgot who I was with. And I explained to you before that gentleman was a public speaker, and it went off as such. It was, hey, by the way, you want a tour? I'm going in my tour mode.
Yeah, but it was a good time. Certainly, Cherry Hill, beautiful part of New Jersey. There aren't too many beautiful parts of New Jersey. But anyway, moving right along, I was afraid for you. I thought you were going to wind up...
Newark, too.
I thought you were going to wind up right on Martin Luther King Drive, and, they were going to have to ship you back in a body bag. But anyway, moving right along is then the New Moon Rising Wrestling Show later that night. Now, one comment I wanted to make is... Xavier Cross, of course, from Highly Entertaining Wrestlers with Loudy, and LJ Cruz really turned it up a notch, gave that show the big event feel that I think it was missing from the earlier in the show. And those two really one step closer to becoming superstars. I really do believe.
Can I say something about that match?
Sure, sure.
Well, for anyone that wasn't in attendance, they're actually lucky because I've got that match on Dropbox, and LJ Cruz has actually shared it on Twitter for anyone that wants to see it.
Yeah, that match, like I said, I'm not taking anything away from the matches previous or after, but I really feel that match was the first match on that card where there was a big-time feel. Omega and then Dan... Omega, how did you feel about that match?
I really did think that was the match of the night. I really liked the psychology. I thought Xavier Cross really, really lives his gimmick, really commits to it, just entertaining. They had the interactions back and forth with, and they did the exercises in the middle of the ring. It was hilarious. It was, and the work in the ring, the actual moves and the work, was fantastic. I thought it was the match of the night.
All right, Dan.
No, it literally, you could tell that was when everything turned around. I mean, it was literally 360 degree. No, it was a complete 180. 360 goes back around to where you were. A 180 goes to the other direction of how. It was literally not taking anything. Shut up.
I'm glad you called it before I did.
Nah, me too. Not taking anything away from the performers. But before that match, it was kind of, just New Moon, and it was quiet. And then those guys came out, and it was like a whole other building in there.
It really was.
It really was. I mean, it was loud wrestling pops. Every move, the fans were on for it. Every reaction, everybody was on fire, from the performers to the audience at that point.
And then, of course...
Yep, good luck to LJ Cruz.
But... And then
another
course,
guy who really commits to his gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a gimmick?
I'm not sure. But the thing with both those guys is that they are so good once their name is called and they go through that curtain. I just want to make a note of that because I really thought it was a special performance on that show. Now, speaking of special performances on a whole different level, another 180, was Dan the Man Palachico was named the interim commissioner. I suppose it's interim commissioner. Now, joining... Just wait. Let me get this out.
Oh, boy.
Joining such illustrious people as Jason Baines as commissioner, as Crap for Face.
No!
As commissioner.
No!
As Donnie Warren, as commissioner.
I'll take Donnie. Somebody Donnie.
Joining such illustrious people as those fine folks, Dan Palachico will now be in the record books as commissioner, at least... I don't know, maybe for a night, maybe for 3 months, maybe for 3 years. Who knows?
What?
But he made a very Teddy Dan Long...
Dan the commissioner?
Yes.
No one told
yeah,
me
you
this.
Would know because the whole time you were in the back filming somebody sitting in a wall.
I apologize, Dan. Did I miss your big moment?
Yes, you did. I'm very upset with that.
But
I'm sorry, Dan.
Regardless of who missed what... Dan, of course, made a very Teddy Long-like decision in having Trima and Crazy Ivan. It was a tag team match, playa.
Listen, let me defend myself, playa. Let me defend myself. He came in the ring, and I'm not comparing myself to Vince McMahon, but when he threatened me, the first thing I thought was, what would Vince McMahon do? He'd think you were he'd let you think, okay, fine, I'll give you one I want, and then he'd do whatever he want to change it. So I say, fine, you want this? You can have it, but you have to work together first. Did I not give the great Matt Tremont what he wanted at the end of the night?
Would Vince McMahon have run away like a little girl?
No. That's why I'm saying I did not compare myself. I was just trying to think in that moment what we'd do before I ran away like a little girl because I couldn't decide who I wanted to get hit by more, Matt Tremont or Crazy Ivan. Excuse me.
I was just trying to see how far you were going to go with that comparison.
And
so.
F you, by the way.
You're welcome.
How did I both say?
Tag team match, playa.
Which was very entertaining.
And, of course, to cap off the evening...
Oh, yeah.
We had O-Dog win PG-13 submitting. Submitting Justin America to advance to a number one. Not to advance. He is the number one contender now. In January, he will get a shot against whoever the champion may be right now.
Whenever they show up.
Dan?
What?
Not the time or place, really.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But anyway, and then the next day we had breakfast. Omega went home.
Dan
had
a swollen
lip.
That was that. But Omega, you have a comment.
I just want to say about PG-13, when that match really picked up once Justin America came out.
It certainly
and,
did.
And that guy worked his ass off.
I always have said that about Justin.
Boy,
what was that, Harry?
What about the Masked Boyer? You haven't even gotten
to that yet. Oh, yeah. The Masked Boyer had everybody fooled, didn't he?
I thought it was Robert Knight.
Robert's not that big.
I thought Robert... Well,
we've got that.
Oh, he has been doing DDP yoga. Excuse me.
You never know. You never know with DDP yoga. But the Masked Boyer, of course, turned out to be Jake Bishop, and he turned his back on his good friend, Justin America, and I hope Jake Bishop gets what he deserves.
Well, he looked at me at one point and yelled, "Is that what you wanted?" I was like, "Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted." Just to get beat up.
Well, Dan, I'll get what I wanted.
Well, in January, you're back. Brawl for it all in January. So that's exciting and something to look forward to. Your final comments, I'll start with Harry. For this weekend.
Well, let's just say I'm still feeling the electricity of the fun that was ROH New Moon Rising and going to see Damian Dragon. I mean, it was a fun weekend. That's all I got.
All right.
Oh, and Dan, congratulations.
For
being in my presence. You think I'd congratulate for being the commissioner, really?
Well, I knew there was a stupid little English book coming. Blah, 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 blah. We're going to talk over that guy.
Omega, your thoughts on this fine weekend we had?
I'm still recovering from lack of sleep, but I just want to say thank you to everybody who came out. The performers from New Moon Rising Wrestling that came out. And especially all the listeners who came out and said hello and who have listened to the podcast every week, or at least have started listening to podcasts every week, that make this show happen and make it worthwhile to have these type of weekends. I thought it was great. And again, thank you to you guys for just being my broadcast partners. And, you know, and that was a great weekend overall. And thanks to Harry for making the trip across the Atlantic for coming. I mean, that's crazy.
Anytime, brother.
But, you know, all good.
Oh, don't use that word.
What, crazy?
Don't use that word. But, Harry, thank you for joining us. I know it's very late there right now, a 5-hour difference. Surely, thank you for, and I'm excited already for January, quite frankly.
Absolutely. And I've got to shut my cab before he wakes everyone up. I wish you guys a good night.
Okay, you have a good night as well. Say hello to the Queen Mother for me.
I hate you.
She's dead, she's dying.
Okay, well, I don't know who the Queen Mother is. I'm sorry.
Elizabeth the First, idiot.
Nah, she's dead. My apologies to...
Elizabeth II is dead, too, isn't she?
It wasn't Elizabeth the First.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's okay.
Let's not have a debate on this. What we're going to do, we're going to...
Who's the Queen Mother?
We are going to keep my heat on by the Mystery Men.
She died a few years ago, Dan.
They dropped, let me tell you, they dropped a record over the weekend of their first CD. This is one of the tracks on there, and I can't wait. So this is Keep My Heat On by the Mystery Men, and we'll be right back after this with Scott Summers. We'll be right back.
My Heat On from the Mystery Men here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. And, Dean, I think we're about to hopefully go to our first guest.
That's right. He is going to make his debut and his return to the East Coast coming up this Saturday. Of course, it's On Point Wrestling, and we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to talk a lot about the wrestling. Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. There's a lot going on with Scott Summers. He hasn't been seen on the East Coast since Tournament of Death a few years back, 2010, I believe it was. We'll get the exact answer from him, but Scott Summers will be our guest right after this.
Way down this country road in a holler, where they make that moonshine feel. There's an old man on the porch on a shack, and the shack is where he lives. Round the town they call him Paul. It's Paul from on the hill. And every time Paul does slay a hog, you can hear that hog
scream. From the belly of the Bible built, them motherfuckers preach their daughter's son. But you can't find no woman, no man, no cousin, no friend without a gun. Alabama, that is my home. But the trailer park has got my heart. Off in the hood, I'm at home when I play in the woods. After dark, you won't find me sober much. Always got a bottle of Jackie, yo. I take my sip, I talk my shit, and I fight anybody that wants to go. Tall and slim, walk with a limp, cause my nuts are oversized. Fuck your dope and your alcohol, because your shit is overpriced. It's a good bag for 24, been full, I'm 21. Mathematics. Going to jail cause I'm drunk and pig, me, beat me.
All right, and as I said, he is making his return to the East Coast after not being here in quite some time. It is Scott Summers. Scott, how are you doing tonight, sir?
What's up, brother? Thanks for having me, man. It has been a while. I think it's been a year. That wasn't it. This year's TOD was last year, so I think it would be 2011.
Okay.
Be hitting the head a lot.
Yeah, especially at that 2011 Tournament of Death, but we'll get into that. What I wanted to start out with, I wanted to start out with the softball questions because that's what I do. I like to break the ice and start out that way. Where did you start this career of yours? And it's been an illustrious career, really, in the Texas area. Now, how did you break in?
I wanted to go to the Shawn Michaels Wrestling Academy, and I couldn't afford it. So I ended up training with a guy named a journeyman named Dusty Wolf and Ken Johnson, and then I ended up finishing it up with a little bit with Jose Lothario. I shouldn't really say finish it up because, you know, you never stop learning. But that's how I started. And I'm like everybody else, I always wanted to wrestle. And there was no way, you know, once Sean opened up his school, there was an actual real way. It's like those young guys that, well, the older guys that tell you they didn't see the Chris Adams commercial during World Class. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was one of those where it was just, I wanted to do it, and it was just reality. I played football, and I quit football to actually start wrestling. So.
Oh, wow. So this is Dusty Wolf. This is the WWF journeyman started up a school? Oh, wow.
Him, Ken Johnson. Well, I actually ended up buying a ring and had a ring in my backyard. And we'd get a million police calls. Police would come over every day, and eventually they just told people, well, we can't do anything. We're not doing anything. It's like playing basketball. You know what I mean? Like, we told them we're not running shows. We're training to be pro wrestlers. It's been some backyard bullshit. And so it was good, man. But, I got bitten by the wrestling bug early, and I quit football. I played at Stephen F. Austin, and I quit to play. And there you have it. And that was started in 99.
Yeah. Now, one thing I've noticed about a lot of trainers are really guys that were, at least your generation of guys that were trained trained by guys like Iron Mike Sharp and Dusty Wolf. Do you think that experience from a guy that, because those type of journeyman wrestlers, they really had to know all the basics to make the stars look really good. Do you think that helped in their training?
Of course. Here's the little things. They knew the little things more than the big stars. You know, let's take an Ultimate Warrior who, you know, he didn't have to know but seven or eight moves because that was his thing, you know? And, I mean, didn't Hogan knew more than four or five moves. He got trained by Hiro Matsuda. I got the Japanese legend, but, you know, when Hogan wanted to wrestle, he could. But I think it helps, man. I think, you know, being trained by somebody who's been around, you know, I think, of course, it helps. It's going to, you know, and like you were saying, if you're trained by somebody that knows more than, you know, four or five moves, and you're going to know more than four or five moves, and it's going to make you legit. And I don't think you ever stop training, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll listen to anybody. I don't care if the kid's been in the business a year to 20 years. I think it's, you know, I think that's something that's kind of like music, man. You know, it's something you ever stop learning in or any entertainment aspect, but wrestling especially, man, because wrestling's changed so much.
It really has. Now, so you started in 99 training. How long did it take for you to actually get on a show? How long was that?
I mean, probably about a year, well, a little less. I picked up on it early on. I mean, I had a different look. I had a really long hair, a few tattoos, not much, but I had long hair where people would walk in the locker room, and they would, like, I literally would get comparisons to Shawn Michaels or Rob Van Dam. It's crazy because people see me now, but, you know, that's all the whole Mr. Show time came, the whole moniker and all that, because, I mean, I used to wear, like, leather pants, and, I mean, it was great, man. I got to do, you know, AAA. I got to go to some places with it, but reality kind of set in one time when I was at AAA and they wanted me to dance around like a stripper. That's not fucking me, you know? And my mom, who just basically looked at me one day and goes, she doesn't understand wrestling politics. And she's like, why do you take so much shit from people you would punch in the mouth in, you know, in a regular environment? Like, why? She's like, I don't get it. And then I just kind of woke up one day and was like, I agree. I just lost my hair, shaved my head, lost my hair in Mexico, and just kind of was myself, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. So that happened in Mexico, and that was really words from your mom. Is that what you said?
Yeah, she just was like, why do you take shit? I mean, you know, I was born in South Boston, and she's that old school Irish Catholic lady, and she's like, why do you take shit off these guys? She's like, why don't you just punch them in their face, you know? And it was just, I didn't have an answer, and I was like, you're right, what am I doing? You know, it's always respect first in the business, but it's just like a lot of guys, I don't know, they, you know, they got harassed and pays and pay your dues, and then they take it out on the other guys, and it's like, yo, man, like, you wouldn't do that to me if you just saw me standing in the bar, so don't do it to me because I'm here, you know, at a show, I'm going to punch you in your fucking mouth. Pardon my French. I speak a lot of French. I'm fluent in French.
Is there, what was it like walking into the AAA down in Mexico? I mean, how different is it than walking into a company on the indie circuit in the States?
It's different. Matches are longer. I didn't speak Spanish. I was with Black Gorderman Jr. When I first went down there. And, I mean, I wrestled the late Hector Garza, rest in peace, like my first or second match. And that guy was awesome. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, and then they took me straight from Nuevo Laredo to Monterrey. And it was nuts, man. It was cool because I've gotten to do it where I wrestled there as Mr. Showtime. And I've actually gone back since I've changed the gimmick, not AAA, but another company, where I was in Mexico City with kind of like the new, you know, the new Scott Summers, the Psycho Show, which is, wouldn't really call it gimmick. It's just me cranked up to a 10. But it's different, man. I mean, you're in somebody else's country by their rules. I mean, I can tell you the story real quick. Me, Val Venus, and Jerry Lynn go walking out of this hotel, and we go into this corner store. And we weren't sober, but I can tell you when we walked in, there were machine guns, and these guys were emptying out the safe. I guess they were like the armored car version of the United States, you know what I mean? But, like, I looked at them two, and I'm like, F this, dude, I'm out. Scary, scary stuff down in Mexico, man.
The machine gun thing. I'm sorry. I'm out of here. I'm not coming back. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, of course I would come back. It was pretty scary. I mean, mind you, they're not sober parts. We're just chilling, you know, okay, we have the munchies. Can I put it like that? We had the munchies. So we all go down to the corner store, and it was surreal. It was like something out of a Robert Rodriguez movie. I was like, I'm out. I'm done. See you later. I don't eat Cheetos or whatever they're called in Mexico.
How many years were you over in Mexico total wise in your career?
I mean, off and on for like 3, and then I went back. I was supposed to actually wrestle Blue Demon Jr. for a title, and my baby's mom at the time was pregnant, and my mom had a dream that I had got murdered, and apparently the hotel that we stayed at, they had found a head in the toilet. This is true, this is true. And I just was like, man, I got a kid on the way. I started freaking out, and I didn't go. And I know that's the number one thing with guys, and don't miss a booking. But, you know, my mom came to me and was like, I don't want you to go. I had a dream that you and the guys got murdered. So, I mean, what do you say to that? You know what I mean? Like, my mom, like, was going to match the payday. She was like, don't go. And I'm like, here's Blue Demon Jr., who's one of the biggest, you know, legends in wrestling down there. And, you know, family over wrestling. As much as we love wrestling, family over wrestling, dude. And, I had a baby on the way. It was crazy because so much happened at once leading up to the event, and I was supposed to go with a group, and then it was just me. And I was like, how did it go from, like, three or four Americans to just me? You know, what the F? And so, yeah. No bueno. I mean, I would go back now, but I don't know. I think I'm just like Masada said. I think it's kind of scary. I think they'd be more afraid of me than I am them.
Like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of I wasn't even there, and I'm kind of scared to ever go to Mexico. is wrestling a lot like in Mexico? Is there a lot of little wrestling companies like there is in the States, or is it pretty much the AAA and whatever's on TV?
Kind of. You know what I mean? There's little ones, but there's AAAs, there's branches of AAAs, there's CMLL. You know what I mean? They've got their two big ones.
For example, to rephrase my question, I mean, if you were working for AAA, did you get any offers from other companies while you were down there to keep working?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, but most of them can't match the money. You know what I'm saying? Most of them can't match the money. It's just like in Japan. Like, when I went to Japan, I wrestled for Freedom for Jun Gasai, and it was awesome, and they took care of me. You know, and Big Japan was there flirting a little bit, but, I mean, it was a deathmatch thing, and I mean, I'm not even a deathmatch guy, to be honest with you. It was just Masada got me into all that crap, so he trained me in it. So I just, you know, but I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed to have gone to places and hopefully go some more. And
it's back to your question. It was tough, man. A lot of them didn't have the money to match it, you know what I mean? And I don't even know if I'd want to wrestle. It's one of those places that was like, you want to wrestle at this bar, behind the bar? But there's some crazy locker rooms I've been in Mexico. I mean, I've been in some crazy locker rooms. Like, God, it was like somebody's goat farm or like goat trailer or something. I don't know what it was. It was this giant trailer where they could herd animals in it. So, somebody's been in a worse locker room, but.
Well, a goat trailer seems pretty bad to me. other than goat trailers and heads in toilets, was there anything that that you actually took away from wrestling in Mexico that you did not learn while you were in the States?
Herpes? I'm just kidding. That's a joke, people. I've been tested. Get off. I got to wrestle like... I got to wrestle Tejano, and I got to wrestle Beata Morgan. I got to wrestle some old school dudes and the headhunters. They beat the fucking shit out of me. Every single one of those dudes. So it's kind of where I first learned the quote-unquote strong style. You know what I'm saying? And then I wrestled like I lucky. I wrestled Damien 666. I don't know if you remember him. Or I'm sorry, it was Halloween, his partner, when I went down there again.
WCW days, though.
Right, and he beat the shit out of each other. Like, the match, we started, he spit in my face, and I slapped the fuck out of him. He slapped the fuck out of me, and I slapped the fuck out of him. And it was awesome. Like, it was like, you know, and after the match, he shook my hand and hugged me, and I was like, there's just that unwritten respect in wrestling, which I think is so good. And it's better when the boys have it. The fans are awesome. It's awesome the fans do it, but, you know, when the boys do it, I think it means more because it's warrior to warrior. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. Because
there's sometimes... No matter how much this dude's beat my ass, I don't want to shake his hand. I might give him a nod, but I don't want to shake your stupid hand. But, you know, the fans, like, they sometimes they kind of ask for it, but I don't know.
And the thing about the Mexican wrestling, after WCW shut down, and then all these guys are beyond superstars over in Mexico, and the one thing that always aggravated me in the States was that, you know, the only way that Mexican wrestling got on TV was MTV. You had terrible packaging against great wrestling, and it never flew. And it always bothered me that you cannot get the Mexican wrestling exposure here in the States. It's incredible.
Well, that was the thing too. Is Vampiro, man? Vampiro's one of my all time favorites, and I got to wrestle him. He's awesome. And like the thing with Vampiro was, is he he's such a big star. He was the Hogan of Mexico. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
and, like, he went down there, and that was funny, too, because they actually, when I got tattooed, heavily tattooed, they wanted me to grow my hair out. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to be a second-rate vampiro. That's just disrespectful. I mean, I probably couldn't pull it off. Number two, like, that's one of my idols. Like, you could embrace it, but, I mean, Vampiro's Vampiro, man, and, you know, he's one of a kind, and, you know, he brought his own style. He brought the MMA style. I believe he brought the MMA style to wrestling, you know what I mean? A lot of people say other guys, you know, did, and obviously Bryan Danielson, but I think Vampiro brought the MMA style. If you ever watch the way he started his matches, he's a legit shoot kickboxer, so.
He was the one bringing it into the ring before anybody else, yeah, I believe
he's got, like, F.A. Rio. He was so amazing to wrestle with, Mr. Aguilar, they call him down there, and you know, even Juventud, and, you know, there are a lot of guys. I'm forgetting some names, but I mean, I was blessed. Oh, Cibernetico, and I mean, those guys were just awesome to me. So,
did you ever wrestle Marco Corleone?
Yeah, well, no, I was supposed to at the show, I didn't go to, but I mean, I've seen him, and I mean, he's amazing. He was amazing when he was in the States with the face. He's a big dude. He can jump out the arena.
That's another example of a guy who they just blew off over here in the States and just went to Mexico and tore the house down.
They're stupid. He's got the physique of a Greek god, and the guy's 6'7". I don't know what more you want, you know what I mean? Like, good God, he's a super athlete. Like, the guy's a retarded athlete. And, you know, everybody marvels at Rob Van Dam, but you got this guy who's 7 times bigger than Rob Van Dam doing the same shit, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. So. Now, I want to talk about Tournament of Death. Of course, that was CZW, and you've been on the record before talking about DJ Hyde believes in you, gives you a chance. You're going against one of your friends, one of your brothers.
Well, yeah, and Masada and I have been fighting for years. Like, that is civil rivalry, you know. And people, a lot of fans shit on the match because there was actually wrestling in it, and I was like, well, fuck off. Like, if you don't like it, too bad. You can watch everybody else kill themselves. We wanted to do something different when we fought, and that was the first time Masada had ever beaten me. Not to toot my own horn, but whatever, toot. Like, that was, I consider myself his kryptonite. He taught me death matches because he knew I understood him, and I'm a huge Terry Funk fan, Terry Funk Mark, and he knew I would get it. And that, he actually taught me how to work death matches, and then, you know, anybody can ask the guy, you know. People, you know, talk shit and they run their mouths about death matches. Masada can wrestle anybody. I'm talking regular old, regular wrestling, no gimmicks, no nothing. I guarantee you he can out-wrestle 90% of this world. He's good, and he was one of the first guys that believes in me, and he's like, man, let me teach you death matches. I'm like, fuck that. There's no way, dude. Like, a chair shot here, you know, do this, and this, but it's weird, man, because, like, as my medication levels went up, I started kind of liking the deathmatch stuff, you know. And, you know, Drake Younger and a lot of those guys, Danny Havoc, and I'm missing some guys. But these guys are, look at the Warriors, man. I watched them, and, you know, Nick Gage, I watched those guys, and I was like, all right. It's cool, man. They were telling stories. They weren't just getting there doing violence for the sake of violence, you know. That was something Jerry Lynn had told me. Don't go over there and do violence for the sake of violence. Don't do it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was lucky to have him mentor me. Late in my career, he became a good friend, the father, godfather of my daughter, whose name is Marley Lynn, after him. And, you know, to have somebody like that in your life, and a lot of people are like, oh, okay, Jerry Lynn, you know, fuck a D. That's like, that's his family. He's not, you know, I'm not going to say his shoot name, but we just got, you know, he's my boy, and I love him, you know. And, you know, we're all the fans now, and he's, now that he's gone, you know what I mean? We're all the phone calls, me. I talk to him. You know, that's what friends do. You know, I don't need wrestling to stay close to him. And it was something he reminded me of today, like, because I still check on him. And I know he needs, you know, to fill that void somehow, because I'm sure he misses it. He, and that's one of the guys, like you said, like, you know, it's almost like he was like one of those luchadors. He's like the most underrated guy ever. I mean, when did you ever see him have a bad match ever? You know what I mean? And, you know, I wrestled him, and people would say, oh, that was so great. Well, he could make a pencil, a Pillman, or a broomstick look good. You know, he could take a blow-up doll and make the blow-up doll look good. So, Masada, POD, I'm rambling. I mean, that was his thing, man. And, you know, me and DJ don't always see eye to eye. I really want to come back. I know DJ's he's a shrewd businessman. He don't play around, but, I mean, he's that's his, you know, that's his baby, and he's running it and kicking butt and taking names. So I'm trying to get back there. There was some whispers and some little this and that that I might be back this year. Like, it was close to happening. When I tell you it was close, it was dollars away from happening. I'm talking dollars. Like, something happened and some people got injured, and, you know, I'm not a deathmatch guy, man, to be honest with you. And people that like the deathmatch stuff, mine, thank you so much, because, I mean, all I can do is tell you it's Masada's fault. I just blame him. I point to him. You know what I mean? Like, we're fighting over something, we break it, and Mom comes in the room, I point at Masada all the time. It's his fault. I didn't do it. He just, you know.
What do you think, now that I know that you don't like that kind of thing, well, what are you thinking? What's going through your head?
I like it now, but it's grown on me. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
It's just one of those things where I never would have done it before. You know what I mean? It's grown on me. I'll do it now. What happened in my head was, it was my fault. But it's also, you know, everybody wants to find their niche. Well, that's the goriest, nastiest company arguably in the world, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I wanted to do the stupidest, nastiest thing anybody had ever seen. Because when I tell you I'm the craziest, you know, mother scooter in this business, I am. You know, you got your Necros, you got your Masadas. You know, Masada's crazy, but he's also sane. You know, he's probably one of the most intelligent men I've ever met. Me,
yeah.
Like, that's kind of why I did it, you know. And afterwards, some people agree with what I said or what I didn't, but that was my whole point, was that's nothing. Like, that's, like, yeah, it sucked, but it happened. Like, Masada powerbombed me on, you think I would learn, first of all, but he powerbombed me on bricks before and knocked me out, and then we lit him on fire and put each other through him, so whatever. You know, it is what it is. It was a great opportunity, great exposure. Hopefully sometime I'll be back. I owe Masada a huge receipt, fucker. And, but yeah, that cement block thing was kind of my fault. You know what I mean? It really was. Not to go into it, but...
Well, how was that your fault? Because I've heard other opinions that it might have been Masada. What exactly happened?
Sorry for my language, but people don't know what the fuck they're talking about, dude. You want to know what happened? I wanted to get it the hard way, so I got it the hard way. Masada, yeah, everyone wants to run their mouth. I've heard these stupid little smart marks on the internet talking trash about our match, and you know, you wouldn't say it to me and Masada if we're standing at the bar. You know what I mean? They wouldn't say it to us. You guys talking shit on us, and you look in the back of his fucking room, and he's got a John Cena poster on the wall. Shut the fuck up. Fuck out of here. You know what I mean? And they're all talking shit on us, and, oh, I don't know about this match, and do-do-do. Well, you know, if I told you that, you know, it was a brainchild of the great fucking evil deathmatch guy, Masada, the boys love the match. And that was if the boys liked it, that's where your respect comes in. You know what I mean? Like, the boys, cool. The fans, man, they're number one in this business, but they don't always get it sometimes. You know, especially over there, like, the fans are great, but they wanted, you know, blood, and we're going to give it to them. But, you know, I mean, when was the last time you saw somebody do a pescado out of the ring through a glass thing? Never. But, you know, instead of stopping and thinking why I did that, they were like, throw them into it, kill them. You know what I mean? It was like a bunch of savage Vikings, just blood. But, I mean, it's a great experience. And I'd love to do it again. But everybody, you know, you want to know what happened? I did it. I did it the hard way because I'm like, I'm going to make a name. And if it means doing something stupid, oh, well. Like, you know, I mean, this. What do they say? There's a business where we wear tights and make funny faces and people take it too seriously. You know, and everybody wants to be a tough guy. You know, everybody's so tough. I'm the fuck out of here with that. Let's see if you can stomach this. You know, now when I got home, I got a lot of heat from the family, and, you know, but like Masada and I, somebody said that, and it really upset me when they said, oh, he didn't take shit. Dude, that's my brother. Like, you know, people say if they want, he's had a beer with Masada. Masada doesn't like anybody. He likes Christina, Von Eri, his fiance, and that's it, and me. Masada likes nobody, so when you've had a beer with him or whatever your shit is, that doesn't mean he's a fucking boy. It just makes me mad because he's so underrated. He's such a good dude. And you know what I mean? For people to say he did that to me because he's careless.
He really is a good dude because it was at WrestleCon. I'm standing outside smoking a cigarette. He came out. This is WrestleCon up in Secaucus this year. And we just started a conversation. And just the nicest guy.
He's very intelligent.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Talk to the guy.
What's he's that? A fucking artist too. He's an artist too. I mean, he creates those skulls.
Oh, he's amazing.
That
he makes leatherworks and skulls. The guy is amazing. And I'll put him over every day. He was the first guy to really believe in me, just wrestling all alone. And he was like we wrestled and beat the shit out of each other. And that was really respectless, you know. Because if you watch that match, you know, I don't back down one inch to him. And that's a shoot, man. We've gotten in fights in my house over ice house, over beer. In my house, and, you know, but it's that big brother, little brother thing, and, you know, he's always, always, always put me over, and he's always had my back, and he was the first one to really believe in me and push me. Like, he and I got in this huge fight in San Antonio. We were down here bouncing, helping out a friend, and like, he looked at me and he goes, why don't you do that in the ring? And I'm like, do what? And I'm like, covered in blood, and I speared this guy into his car and was banging his head in the, he's like, that's like deathmatch wrestling. And I was like, what? In the middle of this fight, he's like, "That's like." In the middle of this fight, he was like, "That's like deathmatch wrestling." So, Masad, I love you, dog. It'd be good to see you.
That's right. Now, I want to talk about one thing though. You haven't been back. You haven't been back on the East Coast since that time. What is going on with that? I mean, promoters, are they afraid of you? Is there some type of committee that is against you?
I mean, people have seen the – I'm not going to get in the hole. If you haven't seen the Illuminati videos, look them up. It's, you know, it's whatever. I get a lot of heat from those. People get so mad, and they're like, you're stupid meathead. Do you really think there's the Illuminati in the route? They're, shut the fuck up, man. It's wrestling. Like I said, come tell me to my face. You know, come talk shit to me. You know what I mean? It's like, get over yourselves. If it was a marketing ploy or whatever reason I did it, or if there really is an Illuminati in wrestling – It doesn't matter why it was done. You know, you don't have to like it. It's like, I might write a song, but you may not like it, or you may love it. Who gives a shit? But it's just funny because these people get on there and they're so negative, and you know, you got your positive people, but honestly, I think it's a money thing. You know, I mean, it's hard, man. I hadn't had that mainstream like a lot of guys. You know, they'll bring, you know, guys from other companies, you know, because it's hard. Money's hard. As much as promoters don't want to admit it, they don't have the money too, you know. But there's some things I'm working on, man. I do okay, and I'm going to try to get down. Hopefully this opens up some doors, man. On Point, totally, totally have big balls for bringing me back. And much respect to everybody involved with On Point. And it's going to be on Saturday, and I'm going to be there to prove something and just have a good time. And I'm actually glad to be back. You know, Masada wanted me to move with him when he moved to Jersey, and I couldn't because I have a little girl here in San Antonio. And my daughter, but I plan on being back, and I think Saturday night's going to be the first, hopefully, of a string of returns for me. Hopefully, you know, people come out and they see what it's about, and hopefully people come see the dumbass that cracked his head on a brick.
Now, let's talk about your opponent that night. It's Chris Dickinson, and a lot of insiders are saying that this is a dream match. What do you have
Chris
to say? Go ahead.
Chris is the smartest, dumbest fucking person I've ever met. I knew he was going to take this challenge. He's an idiot. Like, he's a genius, but I can say that, you know. And he's like, oh, you know, Texas boy over here. Oh, man, cool. I haven't taken my meds all month. Okay, lithium, motherfucker. You hear me, Chris? If you're listening, lithium, motherfucker. Yeah, and I hope it's a dream match, and that's an honor. And hopefully we don't let anybody down. And I know he's not going to back up one inch. I know he's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for me to come down there and wrestle some regular guy. You know what I mean? Chris is one of those guys. He's kind of like the East Coast version of me. So, you know, let's do it. I mean, if anybody saw the fight between John Jones and that Gustafsson guy, how evenly matched they were, you know what I mean? And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm going, my stomach hurts. I'm like, oh, God, this is what's going to happen. We're gonna be bloody messes. And I kind of got excited and a little bit turned on. And, you know, do I like the guy? I don't know. I can't tell. I want to hate him, but he does the stupidest shit and says the stupidest shit, and it makes me like him. I don't know why. But in that, I'm also going to try to beat his face under the concrete or the mat or wherever the fuck we're at. And he's going to do the same to me. And I knew he was going to fall into that trap. I knew. Because I talked to that guy before. And, you know, he doesn't – he just doesn't care. And, you know, a lot of people try to pretend they don't have that I don't give a F attitude, but he doesn't. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to see that fight? You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Like I was saying, a lot of insiders are saying it is a dream match. Now, what did On Point have to do to get you here? Was it just a matter of money, or what exactly was it?
Money, and it's not. I didn't ask him to empty their fucking pockets for me. You know, I mean, it's, I'm not above driving, but everybody knows, man. Dude, you're not going to make anything. We came to an agreement, easy, you know, easy money, got a flight, and that's the thing too. Like you know, I'm a workable guy, man. There's ways to get me down there. Anybody listen to promoters? There's ways to get me down there. You just got to call and ask. You know, I'm considered a good locker room guy. You know, I try to be a leader. You know, just once I get to that curtain, you're fucked because the psycho show's about to unload. But I just think they had the balls. Like, thank God somebody. You know, people involved in that company had seen me at CTO. DOD and were like telling me all night, man, they liked it, they liked what was going on, you know. And there's a lot of people at On Point, they've got great talent, man. That's not the only match of the night. You got Matt Tremont, you got help me out, the guy
the Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah,
Sanjay Dutt, you got Amasis.
I mean, it's, you got Mondo, you know, you got, it's not just us. It's a great little card, and I, you know, for us to be the main event is a fucking complete honor. Like it's just amazing that we're in the main event, and I thank everybody involved, and you know, we're sure not to let down. But I mean, On Points, and that's the thing too. I'm not coming Saturday to lay down. I'm not coming Saturday. Like there's some stuff I want to see. You know, I mean there's I watch other guys. I have ADD, so I have a problem where like. People think I don't concentrate on Chris, but I'm watching. I watch other guys. Like, I see you, Matt. I see Matt Tremont. I see you. I see a couple of other guys. I see you, Masada. You know, I watch everybody around me to see what they're doing as far as, you know, because at the end of the day, like, I want to fight everybody. I want to, you know, I want to wrestle everybody. I want it to be, I mean, that's what's missing to me is, like, the big fight feel, you know what I mean? And I think that's what Saturday has. And the win is the draw. I'm proud to be a part of it, man. And I know On Point does some really cool things, and they've been busting their ass and making a name for themselves. And hopefully this show helps. Hopefully I can help be a part of it.
Yeah, I think the On Point, of course, this Saturday in Deptford, New Jersey, is one of the best independent cards that really has been put together. I mean, from top to bottom. I wrote up some of the summaries for what's going to be in the program. And every match, it's just like you got Gran Akuma too on the
yep.
card. Just so many. I mean, everything. There's not a weak, like when you see some cards, you see a weak link, a weak. You know, it's not a complete card.
There's a drop off, and I think on this one, it's going to be a fucking. It's going to be a roller coaster ride from the minute it starts. And that's a lot of pressure on me and Chris to put on a good fight. We have to have a good match and put on a good fight. You know, I don't know if you don't know. Your guess is as good as mine on where this is going to go. You know, I don't know where I'm going to do 10 minutes from now. I don't know where I'm going to be 10 hours from now. I don't know what's going to happen Saturday night. But I guarantee you that it's all going to be left in the middle of that fucking ring. Blood, sweat, tears. We're probably both end up in the hospital in Philly because he said he's going to put me in the hospital. And I'm like, well, you're going to be in a fucking room right next to me. Not in a room over. You're going to be in the bed right next to me, Chris Dickinson. So I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. Best card in a long time in those parts, I believe.
Now, I do have a question that was given to me by a close, dear friend. Now, this question is, what happened at the Victory Crown Wrestling Show? Something happened there. This is going back a few years at this point.
It depends. I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about. I know that Mr. Cox, Cox, I'm sorry, he just passed away. His dad, he ended up awarding me the belt. Killer Carl Cox ended up awarding me the belt. And I, you know, I reach in and he tells me, kid, I would still whoop your ass. I believe every word of him. You know what I mean? That guy could barely walk with a cane. He reached in and told me, you know, kid, I still whoop your ass. Some things happened though. Some people showed up and started taking merchandise off the walls and unplugging the computers and the tapes and, you know, here we go with the Illuminati stuff, and people are like, oh, God. But, I mean, if you weren't there, you don't fucking know. People that were at that show know exactly what happened. So.
Okay. So you don't care to comment further on it?
I mean, watch the videos, you know. It's not like I paid Jerry Lynn to talk for me. if you watch part two, part three's coming out with Masada. You know, these guys aren't being paid. They're telling you what they fucking feel, you know. He's not just coming to me over because I'm his boy, you know. My boy Ryan Genesis, if you've ever seen him in Texas, the guy is legit a badass, and he legit 6'1", 230 pounds. He looks like a freaking Von Erich. It just, yeah, I don't want to comment. It pisses me off. I just tell people, you know, read and watch, hide and watch, you know, watch the videos. Part three is coming out. You know, and everybody that supports me on that, man, thank you. And if you're a hater, fuck off. Tell me in person that you don't like it. We'll see what's up.
That's right. Now, Scott, I do have someone in studio. They did want to say hi to you before we bid adieu. I have Ryan Castellucci here in studio, so he wanted to say hi.
Yo, Scott.
What's up, man? How are you? How goes it?
I'm all right. I didn't want to open my mouth because I didn't want to take any away time from you. I just want to say hi and bye, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, bro.
Yeah, man. There better be like Jack Daniels or Jim Beam because I think I'm going to need it via IV. IV or however it is.
I got that covered, homie. Don't worry about it.
Well, you know, like, I'm trying to tell Dickinson's people or tell him, like, it doesn't have to stop after the match. We can go to the bar and have a fucking drinking contest. Like, it's all, you know, if he really wants to run his mouth and then he wants to call my boy Masada a pussy, well, he must have death wishes all over because you need to worry about me. And you never know who's going to show up to the show. Just have Jim Beam ready, brother. It was good talking to you. And, I mean, I have this gut feeling there's going to be a giant drinking contest afterwards. Whether or not.
You know it.
Whether or not me and Mr. Dickinson will be there or not, but, I mean, I don't give a shit. Just break me out of jail. I mean, that jail. We could have been up in jail. Like, I don't know. Like, somebody have bail money ready or come get us out of the hospital. Come get me out of the hospital. I don't fucking know. Like, somebody either have bail ready or come get me out of the hospital. It's one of the two. That's your job, Brian. That's your job.
I got you.
Job on Saturday. Okay. Thank you, dude.
All right. So, Scott, where can people follow you to find out when part three comes out? Any social media outlets you'd like to plug?
Just look up Facebook. Look up Scott with one T, Summers. It's usually a picture of my ugly mug and me and my daughter or whoever on there. You can follow me at KOTU Scott, SCOT. Once again, that's KOTU SCOT at Twitter. Follow me on there for a bunch of randomness and fucking stupid shit I post when I'm chilling with insomnia at 4 a.m. I don't know. I look back and see some of the stuff I write and I'm like, huh? Did somebody hack my thing? But I thank you guys, man. Thank y'all for having me. I appreciate it. If you're anywhere in the New Jersey area, man, Saturday, Deptford, on point. Y'all come check it out, man. Watch me smash Chris Dickens' face into a fucking wall or a pole or a ring post or some fat lady's high heel or something.
Beat his ass, Scott. Beat his ass.
I'm trying, dude. He might like it. That's kind of fucking with me. I'm usually the one that's laughing, but I mean, I'm hyped. No medicine. Medication, been off the meds in September, so somebody's fucked.
Nice. Scott, I do want to thank you. This has been a great interview, and I can't wait to have you back, quite frankly.
Hey, man. Thank you, man. It'd be a pleasure. I hope to see you Saturday. Talk to me beforehand, because like I said, afterhand, it's probably hospital or jail for me. Whatever works out.
Yeah, I'll be there doing a live pre-show, and you're more than welcome to come on over.
Good stuff, brother. Thanks, guys. Thank you all for having me. See you Saturday.
That's
right. New Jersey. Guys, you guys fucked. The Psycho Show's coming back. If there's bricks anywhere in the building, bring a brick. If you're a fan, bring a brick. That's my dare to the fan. If you guys, you know, you want to check my craziness, bring a brick to, you know, bring a concrete brick to the ring, you know. You want to see my craziness. We might have part two of TOD. I need a star on the other side to even them out.
I don't know all about right, you, I'll but talk I'm, to you guys. Looking, I'm looking for a cinder block right now. You have a good night, Scott.
Way down this country road in a holler where they make that moonshine chill. There's an old man on the porch on a shack, and the shack is where he lives. Round the town they call him Paul. It's Paul from on the hill. And every time Paul does slay a hog, you can hear that hog.
Came from the belly of the Bible Belt. Them motherfuckers raised their daughter's son. Where you can't find no woman, no man, no cousin, no friend without a gun. Alabama, that is my home. But the trailer park has got my heart. Off in the hood, I'm at home when I play in the woods. After dark, you won't find me sober much. Always got a about a little Jackie, yo. I take my tip, I talk my shit, and I fight anybody that wants to go. Tall and slim, walk with a limp, cause my nuts are oversized. Fuck your dope and your alcohol, because your shit is overpriced. Hit the bootleg for 24 before I'm 21. Mathematics. Going to jail cause I'm drunk and pygmy, wiggly. Yes, I'll be here and I'll do my time cause I can't make bail on minimum.
Now, Dan, that of course was Scott Summers. He's coming to On Point. Your feelings and do the hard sell. I know you love doing it.
I'm telling you right now, if that didn't make you decide, if you were sitting there going, man, maybe I'll go, if that didn't help you decide to buy a ticket, how much are tickets, Dean?
$15.
$15. If that did not make you decide to buy a ticket, you're out of your mind. These two, not, and as he was saying, not even just that match. This card is an amazing card for South Jersey, okay? And there's going to be chaos. And I'm not talking about chaos you don't want to see. I'm talking about just mayhem going. 10:30, Delsey Drive.
Building 4W.
In Westville, in Deptford Township, New Jersey. The and home of?
The home of Ryan Castellucci. And we're going to get to him in just a little bit. He did reveal himself a little bit early. Had a discussion there with Scott. But we're going to be with Castellucci, for all the Castellucci fans out there, he will be coming on in about 15 minutes. But before that, Omega.
Yes?
Are you ready, my friend?
Oh, I am so very ready.
All right, Omega, of course, over the weekend, it was UFC 165 from the Air Canada Center. The gate was 1.9 million. The attendance, 15,504. There were two championship matches. There were three, I'd say, good fights. My goodness, what do you have to say? We're going to talk about the top three fights very quickly here before we go on to Castellucci, but let's talk. Did you see anything on the pay-per-view card in the first two fights? Of course, they both ended by decision.
Well, I think you gotta talk about Khabib Nurmagomedov. He the difficult pronunciation. He looked really good. Really overwhelmed Pat Healy with his wrestling. Had a really nasty, nasty slam.
Slam.
Yes. Nasty.
He's still feeling it.
Yes. Yes, you know, this guy is only 23 years old, looks like a legitimate contender at lightweight. I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. You know, is he ready for the title fight yet? No, but I mean, he's certainly on his way. You know, this is a guy coming out of Russia looking really, really good. I'm really think he's got a legit shot coming forward. He kind of reminds me of Alexander Gustafsson, at least in the terms of how he's young and up and coming. I would like to see him take on someone of a bit more talent. Pat Healy was ranked number 10 walking into this fight. I think you can certainly look down the lightweight rankings and say, you know, there's probably someone up there in the top that probably has a fight for him. You know,
It used to be Clay Guida, but not anymore.
Well, no, I think it's even higher than that. Yeah, I think it's above that.
He's ranked number 7 now after the official rankings came out after the event.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. You know, depending, I'm thinking maybe a Gilbert Melendez or a Rafael Dos Anjos potentially.
You think Melendez so soon?
Well, I think Melendez needs a challenging opponent that he can possibly pick up a win against. I'm not saying he's going to pick up a win against Nurmagomedov, but, you know, Melendez has to get past Diego Sanchez. But I think, you know, I think we're going to see Pettis Henderson again, potentially.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I think you'll see a rematch in that before anything else. Now,
it's kind of hard to say how that top top of the lightweight's going to shake out with Henderson, Melendez, TJ Grant's going to come back from injury and potentially get a title shot. Josh Thompson looking really good. You know, who knows?
Yeah, definitely. Do you have anything to say about the Carmont fight? My thoughts exactly.
Yeah.
My thoughts exactly on that one, too.
That was a boring fight.
That was pretty bad. Thank God we missed that.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the after party, we did go see UFC. But whatever. Now, moving on to the Schaub and Mitrione fight. My goodness, a Darce choke, beautifully applied by Schaub. He wins in the first round, 4 minutes, 6 seconds. And I have to say, his chin is still questionable. So what do you have to say about Schaub? I mean, is this how he's going to have to fight from now on?
I think he's got to play to his strength. His strength is his ability to take a guy down. And if he looks like he's improving his submission skills, looks like he's improving his takedown skills, I think that's where he's got to play to. His striking is not particularly great yet, but I think Mitrione, for a big guy, moved very well and stayed out of Schaub's reach and managed to avoid the big shots for a while. But then, you know, after Schaub grabbed that takedown, he did exactly what he needed to do, pushed Mitrione up against the fence, backed him up, and then shot the double leg and took him down. I think that's how, again, that's Schaub's strength. He takes him down. You know, previous fights we've seen just kind of lay on a guy and try to grind him out. It's nice to see him moving towards a more submission-based game, and I think if he can continue to get that skill set up, potentially he could be a high level guy. I'm not gonna say I don't see him in a title picture anytime really, but I think, you know, he can stick around the UFC for a good long time.
Yeah, definitely. With that. Now, moving on to the first title fight, it's the real champion. That's how I'm going to see it. I mean, the guy, I guess, real champion in quotation marks, has been out for, what, 2.5 years? Haven't seen him around. Yeah, whatever it is, a year and a half, 2 years. So, I mean,
let's look at
Burrell
this.
Is
the guy, the guy he fought last was Demetrius Johnson.
There you go. But I'm just telling you that this Burrell is the real deal. An amazing record, an amazing champion that finishes fights. We don't see this guy go to decision. We see this guy completely engage, finish fights. He's an exciting fighter, and he did it again with a TKO, second round, 35 seconds in. And Wineland is not a pushover.
No, I think Wineland won that first round.
Oh, he definitely did.
So, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, well, you know, yeah, obviously Wineland is tough to beat. He hadn't been knocked out till this point. Burrell comes in the second round after losing the first round, does exactly what he needs to do, lands a kick to the body, and then spins around with that back kick that just lays out Wineland. And then, you know, from there it was an academic situation. Burrell is definitely the real deal. He has the speed and the power to knock guys out, to avoid taking too much damage. You know, it's going to take someone who can avoid getting hit with those big shots of his to beat him. And to date, that hasn't happened. This is a guy who hasn't lost in 31 fights. Just a ridiculous record. He is the real deal. You know, we haven't seen Dominic Cruz in 2 years. I don't even think that even if Dominic Cruz was 100% healthy 2 years ago in this fight that happened, I don't think I would pick Cruz. I think Burrell is the uncrowned, undisputed bantamweight champion.
Oh, he is. He is definitely, in my view. I like the guy since he first came into UFC. And you know what? If these guys go and do have a fight once Cruz gets over his stubbed toe, we're going to have we're going to have him crowned champion anyway. But Dana White has said on record that he has to come back around the new year. So
yeah, he's got to do something.
Yeah,
we can't hold the title much longer. Guy, we haven't had an interim title this long that I can think of.
Oh, definitely not.
You know, Frank Mir got stripped before when he got injured. So I mean, it's only fair to Barral at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And now the main event. This is a little controversial, I think. Not amazingly controversial. I mean, we've seen some bad judging calls. We have seen some very questionable things. I don't think it's one of those. Okay, I do want to start off and preface it by saying that. However, I did see it differently than the judges did, and I saw it differently than you as well. Basically, in the light heavyweight title fight, we had John Jones take on Alexander Gustafsson. It went to decision. The judges saw it 42 judges saw it 48-47, and another judge saw it 49-46. I've seen some people come out and say it was a 50-45. I've seen other people come out and say it was 48-47 on Gustafsson's side. I can see the argument for everybody, quite frankly. However, the way I saw it was 10-9 the first three rounds for Alex, and 10-9 the last two rounds when Jones really turned it on. And I would even go so far as to say that fourth round was not technically Jones until he almost finished the fight. Your thoughts on this, because you scored it completely differently than I did.
Yeah, well, I think it's a testament to how close this fight really was that we have scores all over the board.
And even the judges, the two judges that went 48-47, completely different rounds were scored.
Yes. So it I've seen scores for every round different for both guys. It was potentially the closest fight I've seen, certainly closest title fight I've ever seen. The I scored it, as you said, completely different. I thought that I scored the rounds 1, 4, and 5 for Jones. I don't think 5 is much of a question. I think Jones took easily.
Yeah, Jones took that easily because he was hurt going into the at the end of the fourth, going into the fifth. He was still recovering from the fight almost finishing. I mean, it was that back elbow right to the temple.
I think the fourth round was Jones because of that finish. I think he obviously landed more shots. He did significant damage. I thought Gustafsson was probably winning the round up until that point, but I don't think it was like he was like walking away with that round. It was pretty close. He wasn't landing that great of shots, but Jones with that finish in the fourth round, in my mind, that solidified that round for him. Gustafsson, I think, took round three very easily, so I don't have an argument with anyone saying Gustafsson won round three. Where I get into where it gets tighter is in round one and round two. Now, we talk about round one. We say, look, you know, Gustafsson got the takedown. I agree with that. He got the takedown, and that is a very
historic.
That is historic. And it is important, but he did nothing with it. He took him down. Jones immediately got up, took no damage from that.
Go ahead.
Until that point, I thought it was a fairly even fight. I mean, I think statistics will say that Gustafsson had more strikes, and that's fine. But I think Jones was landing the more effective strikes. And at the end of those rounds, he landed those two elbows that were really devastating. I thought did significant damage. And I thought that was enough to take the round, in my opinion.
But my biggest thing with that is what did he do with the damage? Because coming out into the second round, Gustafsson was not stopped by those. I mean, you say it did. You say he did significant damage, but I mean, really, did he? Because he won the second round.
If you see a guy's head just bounce like Gustafsson's did off of Jones's elbow, I'm sorry, that's damage.
Yeah.
These are guys that we keep in mind. These are guys that are trained to take hits. So, you know, damage is a relative term. Was he struck to the point where he could not recover? He was dazed. He was rocked. No, absolutely not. That's fair. But you know, in my opinion, that won the round for Jones. I completely understand anyone that went for Gustafsson in that round. That was a very close round. And in that takedown, yes, it was certainly the most most visual evidence for Gustafsson winning that round. Round two was pretty close, all the way around. I think it could have gone Jones's way with some of the striking. But I thought that Gustafson was more effective, but it was very, very close, razor thin. I mean, that could have been a 10-10 round, in my opinion.
Sure. And I could have seen, even by that account, I could have seen a 10-8 either in the fourth or fifth for Jones.
I think the fourth. I think that's a bit of a stretch. I don't see a 10-8 round in either of those rounds.
I'm saying because it was that nearly dominating at the end. That's all I'm saying. I could see it. I didn't score that.
You could make a case for it. I think it'd be very flimsy.
Yeah.
But it comes down to how did you score those first two rounds, and I think that's where all the most of the
controversy.
But as you said, it's not really a controversy.
It was a ridiculously
close fight.
Yeah, and I would go on record saying it was probably the best light heavyweight title match in the history of UFC.
It depends on what you like. If you like two really skilled guys that have a really close fight, do damage to each other, never really a point in which a guy really dominates the other. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there's certainly other title fights that have been more exciting from the fact that there's been knockouts and stuff like that. It's all about what you really think of. But it's certainly up there in terms of, you know, best of all time.
Yeah, certainly.
In light heavyweight division.
Last thing I want to bring up before we go to Castellucci is...
Castellucci.
Is...
it's automatic, dude.
It really is. It really is. You know, I started something there. Deppard's number 1-0. Brian Cast.
Hey, you know,
he's giving me the look right now.
You can punch him if you like. Put him in a hold.
No.
Man, I'm in his studio. I just, you know, the cops saw me.
You only got about 2 feet of room in there. Put him in a like headlock or something.
Hey, but it worked.
I don't want to go to jail before the show, man.
Yeah, that's good. I don't have the bail money to get him out.
Won't hurt him.
Now, anyway, getting back to what I wanted to bring up is Anderson Silva and Eddie Weinland. Chris Weidman.
Chris Weidman.
I'm sorry. They're going out on the world tour, a media tour, for the upcoming fight. And the poster has been released. I'm going to put that up on the Facebook page later on tonight. However, Anderson Silva has said that he is going to return the knockout. Your thoughts, Omega?
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what you would expect out of a former champion to say to hype up a fight. And I believe it to an extent. I mean, certainly Anderson Silva has the resume to back up that kind of talk. We said at the end of the fight, we thought Anderson Silva got cocky. He took Weidman too lightly, and he got paid for it with his title. That's all well and good. I mean, I think it doesn't really change my opinion of the fight the second time around. I still think Anderson Silva is a favorite. And hopefully Chris Weidman's been training.
Yeah, certainly. They're saying that Weidman is certainly going to be 100%. And Anderson Silva, we haven't really seen a motivated Anderson Silva in quite some time. So that's going to be interesting to see. Of course, that is New Year's weekend in Las Vegas. So that's going to be something else, I really do believe.
Yeah, it should be a great fight. I mean, it's certainly going to have all the interest around it. Plus you got Ronda Rousey versus... Misha Tate in that card. My goodness.
And, of course, the Ultimate Fighter going on as we speak on... What channel?
Fox Sports 1.
Thank you. I always forget that. We're going to hit some...
Speed Channel.
We're going to hit some Mystery Men because I know how much Omega enjoys the Mystery Men. Go ahead.
I like the Mystery Men. We always play the Mystery Men.
Well, you know...
Let's play some Genesis.
No. You got a pop from Castellucci. We'll be back after this with Castellucci.
Castellucci.
back where I belong.
Yeah.
I never felt so strong, and
I'm back, baby.
I'm feeling like there's nothing I can try.
Yeah.
And if you with me, put your hands high.
Put your hands high. Haven't been lost in life before. This one's for you,
me, put your hands high.
Your dreams are still, you're rocking with the best. I'll be on my own.
I hear the tears of a clown. I hate that song. I always feel like they're talking to me when it comes on.
Come on.
Another day, another dawn. Another Keisha, nice to meet you. Get the map, I'm gone.
Oh,
what am I supposed to do in a club life? Come on, it's easy to be pumped with a harder than T-shirt.
And this one is fairly significant to you because you can say, take away all the pain of yesterday. You are back. Ryan Castellucci, how are you tonight?
What up, guys? How you guys doing tonight? That's right. Yeah, that song, especially that lyric, it gets to me. It really does, because I'm right where I was born, and this is definitely where I belong.
All right.
I'm ecstatic right now. I'm so happy. I'm excited. I don't know where you guys are going to go with this, but I'm really hyped up right now.
That's right. I saw him drink a five-hour energy drink. I saw him drink almost an entire pitcher of iced tea. The man is going crazy.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
He's ready to jump out the window. We better have some good questions here.
He laughed at a Genesis thing, okay?
He did. He did.
I did, man.
Now, I do want to start out. Now, the last time we saw you, out here on the East Coast was New Moon Rising Wrestling. It was December to Remember. Your opponent was Mark Angel. I haven't seen you since then. Some things have gone down in your life. We're not going into that. That's not why you're here.
Right, right.
But you are now back home. You're back on the East Coast, On Point Wrestling, and you have come to an agreement. You're back all or nothing.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here for good now. I moved back home. Moved back to Deptford. I'm so happy right now. And I got to thank, you know, the owners of On Point, the promoters, for putting me on this card. I feel so privileged because there's so many good wrestlers on this card. This is like WrestleMania to me right now. This is like my WrestleMania coming up.
And then, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're no slouch there, Ryan.
Oh, well, thanks for putting me over like that. I appreciate it.
You know,
there's some people that argue whether I deserve to be on this card or not. I really care less whether I deserve to be on the card or not. I'm just happy that I am. You know, the Scott Summers, who's in the main event, is one of the wrestlers who I emulate. You know, there's Finley, there's Regal, and there's Benoit, and there's Scott Summers. You know, these are all the wrestlers that I look up to. You know what I mean? And like watching Scott, because me and Scott aren't, you know, too far apart in like the height range.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So to see somebody. Yeah. To see somebody who's not like your average wrestler looking size make it as big as he has so far, that gives me hope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, it's an honor and a privilege to even be on this show, to be in my hometown, to have all the people I know coming to back me up and support me, and having that much love, man, it opens my heart up. It makes me just insane, and I can't wait. I can't wait for this match. I'm not going to sleep Friday night. I guarantee you. All I'm going to be thinking about is pushing Tim Hughes' face in, like, hopefully up his ass if I can.
Now, that's an interesting match, I think. You have, of course, he's Good News Hughes, and he's a reporter. He says he has some type of scoop to tell all your fans, your family even, some type of scoop. I don't know where he's going to go with this.
You know, I could care less what he's got. I mean, my life is pretty much an open book. I don't care. I'll tell anybody anything. I'm Mr. Social Media. I'm all over the place. I got friends here. They know my past, my personal life. I mean, it could be anything from, you know, hanging out with homeless people or having like nine babies, mamas and shit, you know, whatever it comes to. Man, go ahead and expose what you got to expose, Tim. I know you exposed yourself on YouTube while you're drunkard and shit, talking shit about me, talking shit about my friends, whatever, man. You know, just come out and bring the heat. That's all I want from him. I just want him to bring it, because if he doesn't, there's going to be a third person in the hospital.
That's right, because we already got Dickinson and we got Summers.
Oh, those two are either going to end up in a bar or the hospital.
That's right, yeah, one or the other. They're either going to shake hands afterwards, hug, and get out of there, or they're going to be in the hospital.
I just predict Scott's going to whoop his ass. That's my prediction for that match.
Dan, do you have anything for Ryan?
Well, I do there, Dean.
Okay.
I mean, do you feel that you have something to prove being away for so long, or are you treating this as just another day?
I definitely still got something to prove. I mean, you know, growing up in Deptford, I don't care what anybody says, pound for pound, I was one of the toughest. I was one of the toughest kids growing up there. You know what I mean? I fought everybody and everybody, and these people are still all my friends. So I have to keep that legacy alive. You know, that's my legacy, to go down like that, because I wasn't like the toughest kid growing up. I used to get my ass whipped by like four or five people at a time. And, you know, when I got older and I got bigger and I got the chance to actually learn how to throw my hands a little bit, man, I went on a rampage. Well, I want to keep that alive. You know, I still want to go down as one of the toughest people ever to come out of Deptford, New Jersey.
I mean, what does it mean, speaking of Deptford, what does it mean when you show up to a show and that many people are out in the audience, in the crowd, supporting you?
You know, the last time I was in Deptford and the reaction I got from the crowd and all the people that showed up, there were people there that I hadn't seen in 20 years, and they showed up to support me. I'm not going to lie, at the end of the match, I almost cried. I almost cried in the middle of that ring. That's how much it means to me. I love that town with all my heart.
That was one of the most amazing things I've ever been witness to in the shows I've been to, specifically the shows I've been, you know, running around working whatever I'm supposed to be doing, they're doing. One of the most amazing things ever, the sound in that building. And if, for those who are coming to the show this weekend and haven't been to the Proving Grounds before, shame on you. It is not a big building, but it's a tall room, and the sound that was coming from that building when you were in the ring out there doing your thing, it sounded like you had 20,000 people in there. I mean, it was that loud. I mean, when you're in the ring, can you hear what's going on, or is it not even occurring to you?
Absolutely. I don't shut anything out. I really don't shut anything out, because I know I got boys out there that are like, they might as well just be in my corner with me because they're shouting instructions. You know, like, if you watch that match, you saw me bite that dude's ear. I did that shit before Tyson did. And I did that because one of my boys, I'll put him over right now, his name's Kevin Ferrizzi, he yelled it out. He said, bite him. Bite him, Castellucci. Bite him. So, there it was.
Hey,
I bit the shit out of him.
Well, that was, of course, the night that Mark Angel joined the Burgundy Brigade.
Who?
Exactly.
What?
What?
He's been Bin Laden.
Oh,
yeah. I had to get it. You brought him up. I had to get the Benoit.
Oh, you know, I love you.
Now, Dan, did you have another question? Because my mind froze.
Are you really ready? Like, I'm back. I'm going to start working shows. What does the future hold for Castellucci?
Oh,
Castellucci back in Jersey.
Let's not limit it to Jersey. Let's not limit it to Deptford, because now I'm coming through like a hurricane. I'm a whole nother storm out here. You know what I'm saying? Not only am I going to bring, I'm going to bring the skills that I got coming out of, you know, the Burning Heart Dojo. I'm coming out like Hurricane Castellucci. I'm going to try to get all up and down this East Coast as much as possible, possibly hit up the Midwest a little bit. Definitely want to go down south. I got my boy Frenchie Riviera down south, who's, you know, the invitation's open. You know, I got friends in Pittsburgh. I got friends up and down this side of the country. You know what I mean? And it's a little bit easier. Oh, it's a hell of a lot easier to make your way around this area than it is on the west side. West side's everything, you know, spread out. Something fierce. Here, everything's a little more condensed. So I guarantee you, this is not the only state you're going to see me wrestling in if you follow me and you pay attention to what I'm doing. I promise you that. And it's not just Deptford that I'm going to be able to put some asses in some seats. You know, I tell promoters, I don't know why they don't believe me, but it ends up happening all the time. And this is me tooting my own horn, whatever. You get me on your show, you have me on your show, you pay me what I'm worth, and guess what? I'm going to start putting asses in those seats. And before you know it, bam, your show's going to pick up a couple more people.
I don't know how to ask this question, Ryan. I mean, does it surprise you, the reaction you get, or I mean?
Oh, every time. I come in, sometimes I go to a new state to wrestle, and I'm like, okay, nobody knows me here. I'm really not worth what the other guys in the card are worth. And next thing I know, I got people like that have signs with my names on it and whatnot, have like, you know, little T-shirts and written in glue or whatever. And it's like, wow, really? You know who I am? I'm pretty, you know, when it comes to that, I like to think that I'm a little bit humble and I'm a little bit modest, and I really don't think I'm that important. But to some people, I guess I am. I guess I must have reached some people with some things that I either said or did, and it just shocks me every single time. I did not expect that many people to show up to that New Moon Rising show. I really didn't. I just thought like a handful of my boys were going to show up that I was really tight with. And like I said, next thing I know, there's people I hadn't seen in 20 years coming out there going like, hey, Castellucci, we're here for you. I'm like, holy shit, really? And I was like, I had no idea. You know, like I had like six.
What's your name?
I had like six ex-girlfriends at that show last time. That was amazing enough.
So, and now six baby mamas.
Yeah,
no, I'm
yeah.
kidding. I'm kidding.
No. Nine. No. He had six. Now he has got nine. So he added three more.
Yeah, there you go. But one question, because the guy that journeys across the country, I mean, you've wrestled in Utah, Arizona, obviously, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania. You've just wrestled all over. You've made a name for yourself across the country, really. What is the state of independent wrestling for you as you see these different, because I'm sure you've seen small scale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've seen medium scale. I mean, what do you see? You know, larger scale shows, things like that. How do you see the state of independent wrestling today?
I think it's getting stronger and stronger, especially okay. with, you know, WWE putting Danielson on the show and CM Punk and all the guys that, like, really came up in the independent
yeah.
scene like it did back in the 80s. You know what I mean? So independent wrestling is working. You know what I'm saying?
It's so kind of like a territory system.
Absolutely. And
it could be if these promoters would work together, but a lot of these promoters, and I hate to bring this up because it's kind of a thing, but a lot of these promoters would rather split an audience, and Dan, shut up, but they would rather split an audience rather than...
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but they would rather split an audience and run on the same day rather than say, hey, why don't we try to work together, try to... bring up what we all love.
You know, I've been through that bullshit before, and it's a travesty. It really is. It's what you're doing. You're taking away not only from the fans, but you're taking away from the wrestlers as well. You know what I mean? Because there's people, there's wrestlers that people want to see. Well, how are you going to go to one show? How are you going to go to two shows in one night
that
are running at the same time? It's impossible. You know what I mean? If promoters would just, I understand it's competition. You know what I mean? Everybody understands it's competition. But if these promoters just work together and, you know, try to just make wrestling what it was.
Can you imagine the draw if you had some of those promoters, and I'm not taking a shot at anybody, to be quite honest, if you had all those promoters in a room together working together with all those names, could you imagine the draw you could get at an East Coast show at that size?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you ask anybody, East Coast is where wrestling's at right now. Everybody pays attention to what's going on the East Coast. You know, the big names pay attention to it, as well as the smaller companies just coming up. You know, if there was just some collaboration, a little bit of communication, that's all you really need, is a little bit of communication, a little bit of understanding, wrestling could be 10 times what it is right now.
Oh, that's for sure. I've even seen it so bad as a company will put out their schedule for the year. Then they'll add a date where they know that another company is running and just destroy, you know, the draw. It kind of backfired in some instances, but in another, it hurts everybody, really, because you're just alienating fans at this point. And if you alienate the fans,
right.
just say the hell with everything.
You know, I've been on there was a company in Arizona called EXW, Elite Extreme Wrestling, one of my favorite companies ever to work for. Both the guys that trained me opened up that company, and it was a beautiful thing to watch to unfold. The same exact night, the company that we all left decided last minute to run a show the same damn day.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Ridiculous. And you know what? We had 1,300 people at that show.
Wow.
1,300 people. You know how many they had? 20.
Nah.
And half of those people half those people at the other show were like family members.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's sad. It's really sad. It's a shitty thing to watch people in wrestling have beef and have problems with politics, and that's what kills. That's what kills. You know, we're not the WWE.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that bullshit. There's no reason to politic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you just left all that alone and just got back to what wrestling was, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so I'm a big 80s wrestling buff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's when you could watch a couple different promotions on a couple different TVs, depending on where you were at.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, the good old days.
I know, right? I mean, and that's why, you know, that's why I love my style of wrestling, because I look at the 80s, like, I watched Ric Flair growing up. I watched, you know, Hulk Hogan, of course, Roddy Piper, Paul Orndorff, you know, guys like that, the Honky Tonk Man. Those are, like, guys that came up out of nowhere and became stars because they honed their craft. They went, you know, they went to all these different territories and then got bigger, mm-hmm. you know? And that's what wrestling should be to me. You know what I mean? You should have to go from state to state, year after year, paying your dues, you know, not just be thrown into some farm factory, you know what I mean, just because you're big or, you know, you look like $1 million. Because yeah. you can look like $1 million and not give a shit about wrestling.
Yeah, you know I mean, Goldberg...
If you ain't got the heart for wrestling, you shouldn't be wrestling. Give your boots to somebody who actually gives a shit, who's been wanting to do this for, you know, forever, and just can't afford to buy some shit. You know
yeah.
what I mean? That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, no, Dan, go ahead. I know you have a question that's...
I was going to say, I mean, it's funny you're mentioning the traveling thing. What at your level, what is the accommodations life traveling from state to state like that? I mean, are you living in a car or do you have somewhere to go? What is it like being a vagabond wrestler like that these days?
Well, you know, it's difficult because the pay ain't the same as it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, me and my dad had this conversation a little while ago. My dad was a wrestler for 2 years, and back in the day, they were getting paid. They were getting taken care of. They were getting taken, you know, accommodated. Nowadays, you have to be somebody. You really do. You really have to be somebody. You really have to be worth something in order for, you know, to be flown out, you know, to be, you know, put in a hotel. You know, unlike, you know, myself, I'm still coming up. You know, I've only been, you know, close to 5 years in the business, so I pay my own expenses for the most part. You know what I mean? Which is fine, because that's called paying your dues.
Yeah.
Right? That's how wrestling is. I mean, you hear stories about, you know, Harley Race driving in his Lincoln from state to state,
yeah.
you know, staying at cheap motels, staying at some ring rat's house. You know, staying wherever you can, sometimes sleeping in your car, you know, sometimes not being able to take a shower for a couple of days.
I mean, you have the Mick Foley story.
Yeah,
for him to
absolutely.
Train, he would drive down from Long Island, go to Pittsburgh, right outside of Pittsburgh, sleep in his car. But and he had, like you were saying earlier, he had to put the ring up, too,
yep.
by himself. And he had to go up an elevator. He had to move each part by an elevator, go up, set it up on the second floor. So, I mean... I think that's kind of lost, and I'm not throwing names out there. Well, I kind of am, but I think a lot of guys that are getting trained now, especially if they have a ring set up in a building, they don't have that experience to
right.
set up rings. They don't have that experience of on the road. They're really
mm-hmm.
thrown into these really spots that just amaze people that had to break in the hard way.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm talking like a guy like Loudy, because he really had to break it in. The hard way. Guys like that, Loudy doesn't really get the respect that he's. But he was telling me a story one night.
Loudy needs to do a shoot.
He does.
Not like a shoot on people, but he needs to do a shoot interview.
Like how he broke in.
How he broke in, because
he was telling
a
me
shit deal.
Yeah, but he was telling me for an hour all these things that these guys would do to him, and all the different stuff. I mean, I'm kind of swaying it away, but. It all goes back to, like you were saying, paying dues, and I think a lot of these guys are thrown into these positions that guys years ago would have killed for, even if it is on a smaller scale, Indy. Even if it is, I mean, they're really...
Just a bed. Just a room with a bed in it that wasn't infested with flies.
Right,
yeah.
right.
You know?
Yeah, I got fortunate enough. One of my employments was working for a hotel. So I made the smart choice to work for a hotel. That way, you know, I could throw five guys in the car with me and we could all share a room. You know what I mean? For like $45 a night or whatever. And that's the only perk I had going on the road with my boys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear about a lot of kids nowadays that are coming into the business, and it's sad because they're not paying the dues that, you know, shit, I don't even think I paid it. You know, I'm still paying dues, which is fine. I'll be more than happy to do that. You know what I mean? Whatever
so
I
we
can.
We were talking earlier. You were saying, you know, it's going to be about 5 years in.
Yep.
You still feel that 5 years in, you haven't hit that veteran status, you're still paying?
Really?
No, absolutely not. No, I still got – there's guys that have been lasting. You know what I mean? There's guys in this business who've had it 10 times harder than I could ever think of having it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So out of respect for those people that paved the way for me, I have no problem setting up the ring. I have no problem having people sleep on my couch. I have no problem sleeping in my car. I have no problem taking a vet's bag and bringing it in for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's paying dues right there.
Yeah. I mean, so when do you hit vet status on the indies at this point?
You know what? If you've been wrestling for 10 years and there's a guy on the card that's been wrestling for 20 years, guess what? You're still a rookie to him.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what
true.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just depends on where you're at. Yeah, it depends on your level of skill as well, I think, too. You know, that's another thing you got to take into consideration. So,
well, how do you feel? I'm not trying to get into, you know, the Castellucci show here, but I mean, how do you feel as far as your accomplishments? I mean, do you feel that you've accomplished anything on the indies? Do you feel that, you know, you are worth like a higher tier of peg?
You know, I really don't know how to answer that question. I mean, I've done some things in professional wrestling. I got to wrestle the Almighty Sheik for the 01 USA Heavyweight Championship. I got, which was a brutal.
Wait, he's
brutal
the former NWA champion.
Yep.
Okay,
Heavyweight champion. That guy beat the shit out of me. I bled all over the place. He threw fire in my face.
Jeez.
I got fucked up that match. It was just bad. Like, I don't like to admit when I've gotten my ass handed to me, but I got my ass handed to me that night.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to one of my other accomplishments is I became a heavyweight champion over in Utah.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the highlight of my career so far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to make somebody submit. I got to make their heavyweight champion submit. Actually, he didn't submit. He passed the hell out. And I got a belt around my waist and my arm raised in the air.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than that, I mean, admiration of fans.
Yeah.
Having fans, to me, is my biggest accomplishment.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay. I was just reacting because it's easier because he's right here, but go ahead.
No, what does it – I mean, can you explain to somebody who has no more than had maybe two people yell and throw things at him what that feels like when you step through a curtain, when you go through down a ramp out the stage, when you hear the scream, what does that feel like?
Oh, man, it almost stops me in my tracks every time. It never fails to surprise me. You know, when I you know, my music hits and I walk through the curtain and, you know, fans jump up out of their seats and wave and want to slap my hand or make some signs for me, I'm just amazed every single time. And it took a while to get to that. You know what I mean? It didn't just happen overnight. You know, it took a couple years of hard work and dedication and, you know, just being sociable with the fans, number one. You know what I mean? You got to be able to have that connection with the crowd. If you don't have the connection with the crowd, well, then you really ain't got shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're not willing to put yourself out there, well, you know, good luck having fans then. You know what I mean? And there's people that just bust their ass, you know, who don't really have that much charisma, but they bust their ass, and that's where you get the real fans in professional wrestling that look at that like, holy shit, that guy's amazing. Just doing what he does in the ring, that guy is a god to them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what do you think an independent wrestler, because that's what a lot of guys are, even Adam Cole winning the Ring of Honor World title over the weekend, he's still not in Florida. You know what I mean? So what do you think it takes to get to that next level? And granted, I've asked this before, and people would say, well, if you know, why don't you tell me? But,
yeah,
you
know,
I mean,
I'm not there yet. I couldn't tell you, honestly. I think it's like, you know, in Bryan Danielson's case and in CM Punk's case, hard work, dedication. As far as I know, this is what I was told when I broke into wrestling. It's not about what you know. It's not about who you know. It's about who knows you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's really true. I mean, especially for you. How long were you on the West Coast?
I was on the West Coast for 4.5 years.
So for 4.5 years, you made the name for yourself there, and it's kind of like starting all over, coming back to the East Coast in a way.
That's the exciting part about this whole situation with me. That really is. That's the part I love, is I get to start all over again. I get to try to go from town to town, from city to city, from company to company, and try to make new fans. That is exhilarating to me.
Do you think it's easier because you're back home, so to say?
In
a way, I guess.
Yeah, especially in Deptford. It's a little easier on me. It's, you know, it's kind of a captive audience.
Yeah.
You know, I got my shit, guys that I've grown up with my entire life who I was like, yo, come to my show, bring some friends. They're like, done.
Yeah.
You know? Now, when I go to travel, it's going to be a little bit harder for me, but that's fine. Give me a couple shows. Give me 3 or 4 shows. Get me booked on your company. You know, get me booked on your shows. And I don't know why, I just have this confidence that I'm going to make an impact on the East Coast.
Okay. That sounds great. I mean, have you reached out to any of the promoters? Obviously, there's a few big promoters out here.
You know what? Not just yet. Actually, yeah, I have. I'm not going to mention any names just yet because I'm still waiting for it to happen. There's a gentleman, I got to thank him really quick. His name's Michael Rappo. He's been busting his ass to try to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When I came here, I came out here with nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I had to restart. I pretty much pushed the reset button on life.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, I haven't been able to concentrate on wrestling that much. I've been able to practice a few times with the guys from New Moon, which is great. You know, I love practicing with O-Dog. O-Dog's a great trainer, man. I love that guy. But for the most part, I've been concentrating on, you know, having a place to live, having money in my pocket, trying to, you know, just feed myself, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So after this show is when it's really going to kick in for me.
Yeah.
That's when I feel. After the show, after I get back in that ring, and I feel really good about the situation, then I'm going to start hitting up promoters like it's cool.
So this is... Like you said, this is where the ball really starts rolling. The first domino falls
right
on point. So this is a very important series. I mean, and you're part of the On Point family. This isn't a one-off. This is going to be your home promotion, so to say. I mean, how does that feel that these guys bring you back in, back to Jersey, so to say? I mean, you were coming back anyway, but... They bring you back, you have a promotion, you have a, I mean, how's that feel that they put that much confidence in you?
You know, I'll correct you on one thing. When I originally talked to the promoter and I originally got booked, I didn't have any plans on coming back yet.
Oh, okay.
I put it in the works to get a plane ticket to come back home. I was maybe going to stick around for a week, try to get some tickets out there. And it wasn't until I got here permanently that I knew things were going to get better for me as far as wrestling is concerned.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy the way things turned out. I really can't wait for the show on Saturday. Like I said, man, this is an honor and a privilege for me to be on the card with all these wrestlers that are on these cards. Like, these are guys that I watch. You know, these are guys that I look at, and sometimes I take some things from them, you know? And so for me, it feels like it's a dream. It really does. It feels like it's a dream right now.
I mean, how does that feel? I mean, you have Amasis, who came back from the Assyrian portal, that came back this year.
Mm-hmm.
Ophidian's on the card, so you have both the Assyrian portal. You have a lot of the New York guys, like Pinky Sanchez. I'm not sure how much you know about these guys. You have Trima. You have
Scott
Summers.
I'm still a fan. Yeah. Just because I'm a wrestler don't mean I stop being a fan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But I don't, you know, being on the West Coast and everything, I don't know how much translates over there. I mean, like you said, it really has to be a huge honor for them to find, and it's really kind of like a highlighted position for you.
Yeah.
I'm semi-main
event.
Wow.
Which is how it was last time I was here, and to get that spot, you know, honestly, I don't think I deserve that spot. But I'm grateful that I have it because there's so many talented wrestlers on there. To put me in that spot is like, man, thank you. You know what I mean? That's to the guys that run On Point, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I really can't express to you how much that means to me. And that just means a lot to me. That means a lot to my friends.
Yeah.
It really does. It means a lot to my family. It means a lot to the people that have supported me, backed me up, and care about me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's definitely how I feel about the situation.
Now, this whole series, the entire month we have been talking about On Point Wrestling, the amazing card that they have put together, really one of the super cards, I think, on the independents this year.
Oh, yeah.
But it started out, I was with Matt and Jeff, and we were sitting there, we were talking about this card, and it all ends with you, and how this is really a game changer. It really is all or nothing for
absolutely.
On Point Wrestling. And, I mean, it's kind of like the same question I just asked you. I mean, knowing this, knowing that they're putting faith in you, I mean, how really is this? I mean, it just has to be like a dream come true, especially after what all you've been through.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's, I needed this. I really did. I needed this to happen. This is what I can tell fans that are listening. When you come to see me, I am going to entertain you. I am going to shock you. And for Good News Hughes, I mean, you know, breaking news report, I'm going to beat his fucking ass.
I'm going to
beat the shit out of him. Yeah. That's, I mean, win or lose, he's, you know, he's going to know he was in a fight with me.
Well, wait a second. On that note.
Get out of here.
I don't have it. I just went into the break the news again. All right. What's the breaking news? What are you going to do to Good News Hughes?
Well, this just in.
this just in, I'm going to fuck him up.
Yeah, pretty much. Let me tell you, it should be cloudy with a chance of blood, possibly some broken bones, and scattered showers of tears for Mr. Hughes. He released a video on YouTube today where, you know, he was drinking, you know, bullshit. Whatever shot you, what you pour, a shot of iced tea in that glass? Because you can't handle whiskey like me, I guarantee it.
Drink them under the table.
Whatever, man. If that,
drinking
if that was...
Like, just like in Raiders of the Last Start.
I just smoke them. Yeah, except I'm not going to lose to a girl.
Just drink them under the table and then steal whatever he's got in his pockets.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a typical Deptford night.
It's true. I've been into a few of those bars down the road.
Oh, jeez, man.
The proving ground.
Yeah, and I tell you what, please, if you're listening to this, you know where we're going to be after the show. You know this. Nippers is right down the road.
Oh,
Shalene's
boy.
Is right down the road. Man, it's party time.
Oh,
and
boy.
And if you watch me in the past, you know what I am. I am the party. I bring the party. That's why, like, you know, Scott was talking about bring some Jim Beam. You're damn right I'm going to bring some Jim Beam.
And O-Dog that's, will bring the Mad Dog.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Great.
What are you're gonna have some afterwards too, or during if I have anything to do with it.
I'd like to drink during.
That'll work.
Hey,
like Bob Uecker?
Hey, yeah. This guy was all sated at Deptford High School. No, he wasn't. Yeah, he was.
He was an all-star or something. But my goodness, it's this Saturday. It's the Proving Grounds, a building that you've been in before. A building that the fans have come in droves for before. So we've talked about it. We're going to run down the card. Actually, let's do it with you.
All right.
Let me just, I'm doing this on the fly, but we're in overtime, so it's fine.
Works for me.
Yeah, let's see. On point. Where's the event? Actually, let me go to the event page. Dan, do you have a question for Ryan while I'm trying to find this?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dan. Come on, Dan. I know you got something for me, bro.
You got something. Come on, Dan. You're a broadcast journalist.
Has it sunk in yet?
No. It's not going to sink in until I walk through that curtain and I hear whatever reaction I get, and then when I lock horns with Good News Hughes. You know, I can sit here and I can talk shit on the guy, but the fact of the matter is he's an incredible athlete. He really is, and I have a lot of respect for the guy. I don't like him. In fact, I hate his fucking guts. But, you know, whatever. It's not going to be a walk in the park. This guy's a competitor. He's a wrestler for a reason. You know what I mean? If he wasn't a tough guy, if he wasn't a badass, he'd be a wrestler. He'd be a ballerina, which hopefully he'll end up doing by the time I get through with him. He might want to switch to being a ballerina.
Now...
he has the right shoes for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, from what I've seen, he can't keep his pants on.
Yeah.
I mean, I have that problem as well, but not in public anyway.
Yeah, you know? I was just saying, yeah, you know, ask those nine ladies.
Yeah. Now, talking about the card, of course, the Fantastic Four-Way has become somewhat of a signature match for On Point Wrestling, and it's Robbie Marino, who has been around CZW forever.
Right.
The guy's a vet. He was the guy that was interviewing Zandig during the classic...
Jesus!
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Dan. But Roy Mondo is going to be in there. World-class deathmatch wrestler. Guy's still searching for respect, quite frankly. Leon St. Giovanni, who is Mr. On Point, with his manager, John Harder, and Anthony Cortez Haynes. Now, both of those guys are a little younger. They're East Coast guys. I'm not sure how much you've gotten on them, but this is going to be a really amazing match. I'm not sure where it is on the card, but that should really electrify the crowd.
Did you want my predictions for these?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I'm going to go with Rory on this.
Rory Mondo, you think he's going to find that respect?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rory because Rory has an ability to take pain, on levels that human beings should not be able to take pain.
Now, you said you haven't seen wrestling in the past month. Dan, tell Castellucci right now what this man did at the last ECW.
The man, let's just say that I thought he was good. The next thing he was going to do was rip his own arm off and start beating people with it.
Right.
I mean, he, it literally looked like, you know how Dean was explaining that it was a shoot?
Right.
It really, really looked like he was trying to kill somebody, if not kill himself in the process.
And that's the level he's willing to go to, and that's the level of competitor that he is. So that's why I picked him to win this match.
There's very few people that, you know, they use weapons, but they use their own bodies with the weapon. All I have to say is he could have done 100,000 things to the other guy, and the blood not bother me. But as soon as he had to get thrown barefoot onto the thumbtacks,
yeah, that's when it went to
that's
another level.
That's when I draw the line and it bothered me. I was like, all right, I can't watch this no more.
Were you a little disturbed by it?
The thumbtacks on the bare feet, I was done.
Don't be such a wuss, bro.
You know what? There is another barefoot thumbtack match in CZW history. Maybe I'll send you the link to that, Dan.
Yeah, and I'll not watch it.
Thumbtack Jack. But anyway, you know who called that match? Salamander Jones. But moving right along. Moving right along, we have good news. Timothy Hughes taking on our guest, Ryan Castellucci. Obviously,
you know,
you're going to pick Timothy Hughes.
I'm going to pick Timothy Hughes on this one.
Like I said before, he's a competitor, just like any other person who laces up the boots. You know, I'm no better, no worse than anybody else that goes out there and does their thing. However, this match is going to come down to who's got more heart. Because I already know the crowd's gonna hate him, and he's gonna feed off of that hate.
True.
You know, I'm the guy that's from there. I have to feed off the fans as well. I have to feed off their energy in order to make it through this match.
That's
what I have to do. When there's nothing left in the gas tank on him, and there's nothing left in the gas tank on me, then we're gonna find out who's gonna win that match.
That's right. I like how that sounds. Now, as Tyler, he is a guy East Coast. He's a rookie. He is taking on Black G's, and that's Sabian, if you know him by that name, CZW vet. Really, another guy. He's been on TNA for the Gut Check Challenge. So how do you see that one? Now, Oz Tyler, I can tell you he's a high flyer. He has a lot of an exciting offense. But do you think the guy is really proven?
All right, well, it's been my experience that vet versus rookie, 9 times out of 10, the vet's going to win because he has the experience, he knows the tricks, you know, he knows his trade a lot better than the rookie does. So I'm going with Black on that.
Easy enough. You really can't put a value on experience, and especially
absolutely not especially in wrestling.
Yeah. So hey, Dan, how do you feel about that one? You know, Black G's.
I really think Black G's is going to get the upper hand on that one.
Yeah.
No, I really think, hands down, he's got this one. I mean, not that it's going to be a pushover, but I'm pulling for Black G's on that one.
Okay, the next one, Dan, is one of our favorites, a friend of the podcast, Ophidian the Cobra, taking on Mascara Celestial, and that means Star Mask, I guess, if you were to translate it. Omega can correct me if I'm wrong, but now Celestial, he's a guy that's up in the New York area. Being highly talented there, he's been on several different television shows, the Telemundo up there and things like that. Do you know anything about his opponent, Ophidian?
I've definitely watched them on, to me, they're one of the most entertaining wrestlers right now around. They really are. I don't know the other gentleman that well, so I really can't make a prediction on this because I don't know the level of skill that he's at. I'll have to do some research and check him out because you never know. I could end up in the ring with him.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, so, you're part of the roster for On Point. You never know.
Right.
You never know. The next one is going to be Gran Akuma. Dan, I'm sorry. I was moving on before I got your feelings on that.
I'm going with my boy. I'm going with Ophidian.
Snake style for he has two predictions. Yeah. Gran Akuma taking on one of your favorite tag team wrestlers. He used to be. The Machine, SV Shields, formerly of the Midnight Sensations. Dan, how do you feel? I'll go with you.
I was
going to
say,
That's a shot, yeah.
That was okay. Well, I'm going to go with Akuma just because I don't want the other guy to win.
I'm right there with you. Go ahead, Ryan.
I've been on a show with Gran before, and I've watched him wrestle. He's one of the most amazing, one of the most talented competitors I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I really look forward to watching that match. So I'm going to go with Gran on that.
Definitely. What I was going to say is when you're in a tag team for so long, you kind of get used to that style, having a partner to rely on. So it's really going to be tough for SV Shield to overcome that.
You know, I've been in that situation. I understand what it is to transition. You know, I started out as a singles wrestler. I ended up a tag team wrestler, and I went right back to singles competition again. I know how hard that transition is because you're constantly tagging in and out, and you want to keep the fresh guy in there. Even when you're getting, when you're getting your ass kicked, sometimes you have to be the guy that comes back in. Well, without a tag team partner, it depends on how long he's been without that tag team partner. I would say if it's more than 4 months, then he's probably already adjusted then.
I think it's been more than that. So
yeah, so he's definitely adjusted from singles to.
Oh, so that could be the wild card, maybe.
It could. Mm-hmm. He might take it, Grant. You know, he might steal it.
Yeah, he did lose his debut against the young up and comer Anthony Cortez Haynes. So he's motivated here.
Right.
But then
absolutely.
Again, so is Akuma because it's his debut. So.
Oh, absolutely. He's God, man, that guy is 100% competition.
He
will kick the shit out of you.
Yeah. My goodness. Now the feud continues. This is a 6-man tag match. Things have changed. Oh, okay. Yeah, they did change it up on here, the lineup. Now it's Pinky Sanchez. Now the biggest story of On Point Wrestling so far since January of this year has, of course, been the feud between Pinky Sanchez and Drew Blood. This was something going back to CZW years ago.
Right.
It continued into On Point. Just these guys don't like each other, quite frankly.
to say the least.
So you got Pinky Sanchez, Angel Ortiz of EYFBO, that's another young tag team up in the New York area, and Caveman. They stole it from Loudy. He was pretty upset about this because he was looking forward to having the Caveman. Mike Drastic is injured. He's the other half of EYFBO. He will be on the outside, kind of in a managerial role, trying to subdue Loudy. Now, they're taking on highly entertaining wrestlers. That's Xavier Cross and Drew Blood. With Loudy. So they have a mystery partner, and that really is the wild card.
Okay. I'm going to go. I hope Pinky's team wins. I like Pinky. I think I get a chance to watch him on the internet, and I think he's awesome. I'm not a big fan of Loudy.
Really?
I'm just not. I don't like the guy.
Okay, that's it, folks. We're done. Good night.
you know, whatever, man. It's fine. I'm just going to hope that Pinky's team takes it.
There you go. So Pinky's team. Now, this one I'm excited to see. It's a rematch. Oh, Dan, I'm sorry. I keep on skipping you. I'm sorry.
That's fine. You know. But, I'm going with Laddie, damn it.
You're going is it because of the wild card? You don't know who the mystery partner is?
Yeah, God only knows, what they're going to. Listen. Loudy has got connections that most people don't know about.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I'm going with Loudy.
You
never know who could be me.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. Well, no, he said he ruled you out. You were ruled out. Remember last week he said, Fluffy Man, you're out.
I was number one, and now he's going with number two.
So whoever that may be, but the next one I'm excited to see. It's a rematch from C4 in Canada.
Oh, wow.
It is now on U.S. soil. It is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, coming back. He missed the last show. There was stuff going on. He didn't make the show. Well, he was there. I don't want to make it sound like that, but he's back in action for On Point Wrestling. He's taking on Jaka. And Jaka, if you've seen him from Beyond Wrestling, if you've seen him from C4 in Canada, you know this guy's no joke. But you also know Matt Tremont will be bringing it as well. So, Dan, how do you see this one?
I'm Tremont.
Tremont?
I'm going to back up Tremont.
You're on Team Tremont for this one.
Yeah, I got to agree. The reason I say Bulldozer, my God, that guy just, man, he takes
heart.
Yeah,
the man absolutely is a living, walking road map.
Yeah.
Of his matches.
Yeah. He is, man, that's a guy who busts his ass.
Oh, yeah.
Every single match. Every single match, he gives his all. He gives you his heart. He gives you his soul. He gives you his blood. You know, more so than others.
Literally?
Literally, yeah. Like, he could donate.
I mean, he's really this close. This generation's, if he was packaged a bit differently, he could really be this generation's Dusty Rhodes. Somebody
You're
that
absolutely
people,
right. You, oh, man, you hit that right on the head.
You know what? I think we need to. Needs to repackage with the polka dot.
I'm not saying the polka dots.
Come on now.
Not that.
I'm Matt Tremont, everybody.
Daddy. But
let me tell you something, Daddy.
Matt's one of those guys that, like, if me and him, like, got into a bar fight, I couldn't tell you who'd win.
Not only I'd want him to have my back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Something like that. But
first of all, the fact that you would get into a bar fight with Matt Tremont, you're an idiot.
No, I'll fight anybody, man.
No.
You forget who you're talking to. This is, Difford's number one son that we have here. Now, wow.
I'm not taking anything away from you, Mr. Castellucci, but, I just wouldn't want to coming at me.
I could see that. I could see that. But really, my getting back to my point, he's like the everyman. He's somebody that I think if you're sitting in, on the other side of the guardrail, you can say, either I want to be that guy or I can get behind that guy because he's me.
And that's why Matt is who he is, because he has that ability to draw you in.
Yeah.
He has that ability to make you feel what he feels.
Emotionally invested.
Absolutely.
That's the whole thing.
You are emotionally invested from the time that bell rings to the end of that match.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to skip one, go to the first time ever meeting. This is Impact Wrestling Star. Of course, we're talking about TNA. Sonjay Dutt, the player from the Himalayas. He is taking on Amasis. Amasis, of course, made his return this year at On Point Wrestling at their first show.
Were you laughing?
No, that was
that
was a cough.
Okay.
It sounded like. But
yeah, I'm sorry. I can't stop, and I keep trying to hit mute at the same time, so I apologize.
That's fine, man. But I think these two are going to have a really good match. I really can't pick a winner. Dan, how about yourself?
I was originally going to say Amasis because maybe he was, coming off his high from just coming back, but I don't know.
And of course, the reforming of the Assyrian portal, which happened on a Wrestling Cool show in that very same building, Dan.
Yeah,
he has like a hometown advantage if you think about it, because Wrestling Is Cool runs right out of that building.
On Point
runs out of the building.
I really am kind of trying to lean towards Amasis on that one.
I think I lean a little bit toward it as well.
I'm going to go with Sonjay Dutt.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to go with Sonjay Dutt on that. I hate to say that because I love Amasis. I love watching him wrestle. But I know from studying Sonjay Dutt what he's able to do, how much pain he's able to absorb.
Yeah.
And he's like the lightweight version of Ric Flair.
Yeah,
that is the Mr. Go All Night if he wants to.
And a lot of people forget he was in CZW.
Yep.
He has done these things under the Zandig regime. So definitely, I really do think that he has a certain toughness. But I really think the home field advantage is going to play into Amasis's favor. And now the main event, my friend, we had him on tonight. It's going to be Showtime Scott Summers taking on Chris Dickinson, and I'll tell you what, these guys are a lot alike in several ways. Very athletic guys, very agile, very angry, very stiff, very mean. Basically, what this is a legalized dogfight that you're going to see in Deptford, New Jersey. Once that bell rings, get out of the way, because these guys are going to go out the side door. I've seen it happen before. I've seen pallets come in. I've seen a lot of things happen there. He went cinder blocks. I don't know what's going to happen. I got to go with Scott Summers, though. understand your pick.
Same, Scott. Cinder blocks and all, I think Scott's going on.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go with Team Summers, only because I've been at a show where I got to watch him just pummel a guy. It was sad and horrible to watch at the same time, but it was like a train wreck. Scott, pound for pound, is one of the toughest guys I've ever seen in the ring. And that's all I got to say about that. Team Summers, man, all the way.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll tell you what. My goodness. So that is the On Point show. Dan, give it the hard sell because I know you love doing it.
Oh, I'm softening. 10:30, Delta Drive Builder 4W. You cannot talk this card up any more than you have. It's going to be one of those you can't miss events in wrestling on the East Coast. And it's only $15. It's one of the cheapest shows tickets you could buy in indie wrestling today. 10:30, Delta Drive Building 4W. Exit 25A off 295. Eat at the gateway and then come on down.
That's right. The doors open at 6. Bell time is 7. Hell in a Cell Talk Radio will be there with a live pre-show. I will be there with referee Jimmy Dillon as we go over the card yet again. I want to see what Jimmy thinks about it. We're going to have an amazing pre-show. God knows who I'll talk to. Scott said he might stop by. He said get him before the show.
Yep. Don't get him after because he might be dead or not there.
You never know. Pinky Sanchez. Never know.
Talk to Pinky.
Angel Ortiz, the caveman. Maybe I'll try to get the caveman. I talked to a chicken at a show one time. I'll talk to a caveman. I don't care. Tyler, we of course talked to you at a different show. So you never know. Somebody might come over. Maybe
if I meet this caveman and it's not even Captain Caveman, I'll be so upset.
It's not Captain Caveman, my friend. But that is of course this Saturday at the Proving Grounds. It's becoming more famous by the day as a spot. It really is, man.
It really is becoming.
I don't want to make it important.
You're going the same way I'm going with this.
I don't want to overstate its importance, but it's really, in a way, a lot like how the ECW arena was in
exactly
the early
where
2000s.
I was going, dude.
And what I mean by that, you had Ring of Honor, you had Chikara, you had this, you had that, and you kind of have that happen again. Of course, New Moon Rising Wrestling is the home promotion, but you have all these other up-and-comers. You have Wrestling Is Cool. That whole Wrestling Is family, they're involved there. You have On Point Wrestling, of course. You have Sideshow Pro that runs out of there. You have so many shows and the opportunity to see so many different. I mean, when you think about the people that have walked through that building, you're going to have Sanjay Dutt. You've had Homicide in that building. Matt Tremont, of course, several times in that building. I'm just trying to think of names. The Assyrian Portal has been there. Eddie Kingston.
Ryan Castellucci.
But Eddie Kingston has been there.
You know what? Omega Squad was there.
That's the best one.
Omega Squad's been there. Of course, Brady Hicks from Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Plenty of people have gone through that. And it's really becoming one of those places that you just go, wow, this is really a building to see a show at. I really do believe in that building.
It's born for it because, you know, you walk in, the ring's set up, the chairs are set up. I mean, it's a self-made building ready to go. Why not?
You're not going to go there to see a play, I'll tell you that much. The ring's in the way, so.
You're not going to go there to see
ballet.
Really?
And certainly not. Well, certainly not on this show. You're not going to see ballet. I think it's going to be two pit bulls. Unleash them, get them off the chains, and they're going to tear each other apart.
Certainly not going to go there for fire prevention.
on the sign outside. What is it? Atlas Fire Prevention or something?
Yes, it's certainly not that.
It is not that. I think if anybody goes there for any type of fire prevention business, it's they're going to be sadly mistaken.
In fact, a certain person you know that I also know that works in the fire business was like, okay, this is just not right. I'm leaving.
Well, whatever. I'm not getting into that, Dan, but
it's a perfect building for wrestling. It has got this big, loud sound that, like I was referring to earlier, when you got a match with Castellucci versus Mark Angel, you've got loud fans, and it will echo off the wall. It sounds like it's bigger than it is.
Sounds like Madison Square Garden in there.
It really does sound like an arena in there. You got, like I said, it's set up ready to go for wrestling. You really can't get a more perfect building. I like the idea of the skate zone, but the skate zone comes off too wide and too big sometimes for wrestling.
It's really a cavern in there, and that's why I didn't like seeing shows there initially, but that's neither here nor there.
And
it's a good building for them.
That's not an insult toward anybody. It seems like a weird building for wrestling. This is a building you want to put wrestling in. If we could only afford to get bleachers in there, it would look amazing on camera.
Yeah, definitely. And it does look really good on camera. Unfortunately, there's not the capability to do pay-per-views quite yet.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. That would be an amazing step, I think, once you have any show that...
Get Fios in there. You don't want Comcast in there.
Okay, and before we go, I did want to discuss the weekend once again, but Ryan, before I do that, I want to thank you for coming on. We'll wrap up and then I'll talk with you a little bit.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for, coming over. I like this. I think I'm going to have to have more people over in the studio.
You encouraged me to behave, but every time I heard you laugh, I was like, okay, don't push it.
Oh, shoot. I mean, if you guys let me, I'd like to be a regular on the show. This is great to me. I'm having so much fun right now.
Chris, you're out of here.
No, Chris ain't out of here.
I'm sorry.
No, Chris ain't out of here.
Fine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Chris ain't the one.
Fine. I'm out of here.
Enjoy the hockey podcast, Dan. But anyway, Ryan, really thank you for coming. He even picked me up from work. This is the type of guy that he is. That horrible job I had.
hey, you barely terrible. Have to work there. Man.
Terrible.
You barely have to work this week. Don't worry about it.
No, it's not this week. It's starting in October, but that's neither here nor there. Oh, how I hate that place.
Well, it's there.
Oh, how I hate it. But Dan,
yep.
Dan, before I go into anything else, I wanted you to hear the intro to your show.
Live?
Yeah, why not? Okay. Because I can't play it. I could. Do you want to hear it now? I'll play it
now.
Yeah,
good for you.
The views expressed by Dan College, you could not reflect.
I really thought that was it. I was like, what the hell?
When did Omega do that? But here's and we'll be back in about 2 minutes because it's a 2-minute intro for, and this is, of course, Obey the Puck. It starts next Monday night, 9 o'clock. That's Dan, that's Kelly. Dan, tell us a little bit about it, then I'll play the music and we'll be back on the other side.
Obey the Puck starts, like you said, Monday, every Monday at 9 during the hockey season, and is for the fans. We're not going to climb out. I suggested getting interviews for, in the minor leagues, but I was told by the boss, Kelly, that it's really for the fans to talk about hockey. And I'm talking about professional, minor, not professional, personal experiences, different things like that. It's just going to be an all-around hockey podcast put on by two uber hockey fans.
All right. And Dan, this is your intro, and we'll be back on the other side. So that will be the intro to the new show,
oh,
the new program.
I'm so excited, dude.
Obey the Puck. Go ahead and plug the Twitter for it, Dan.
I forgot to put, just follow the Twitter. Tell as many people as you can if you follow on Twitter. Follow Obey Puck Show on Twitter.
And, of course, the debut episode is next week. I will be listening then. I will not be a part of that podcast.
You are our producer.
I did start up that intro. Ryan, I forgot to give you a chance to plug stuff. I'm sorry.
I just want to say real quick.
There's 9 of them.
Yeah. If you're a West Coast wrestling fan, I want to get a chance to check out on Facebook and Twitter, Slam U. Slam U is an adult-oriented, I will say it again, adult-oriented professional wrestling company out of Arizona. It's the hottest, newest company out there, and they are doing big things out there right now.
I
want to thank the Burning Heart Dojo for making me what I am. Derek Nykirk, GQ Gallo, thank you for doing that. I want to surprisingly thank my ex-wife for giving me the motivation to come out here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, there you go.
I want to thank Mike once again. I want to thank Michael Rappo. Yeah, thank Michael Rappo for giving me the courage to come out here and do my thing again. Kevin Ferrizzi and Ricky Nisbiotic for beating the shit out of me when I was wrestling in high school. And On Point Wrestling, thank you so much for On Point Wrestling for giving me the opportunity to do what I do. And I want to thank you guys for giving me this opportunity once again. I really, really appreciate it.
You know what? You are no longer just a guy in Arizona that we got on. You are part of the Hell in a Cell. You're in my studio.
Woo!
So you are part of the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio family. Thank you for your time, because you're so humble.
Great. What can I say?
Yeah, but thank you for your time. And I do want to play another thing. This is going to be the intro on the next day, right after the debut of Obey the Puck. We have a new bi-weekly podcast. A new bi-weekly podcast of, it's going to be called Moose Knuckle Radio. And this is... So Moose Knuckle Radio, that's going to be...
an adult-oriented radio show?
I think it might be.
Sometimes.
I'm not sure.
It's not Camel Knuckle, okay? It's Moose Knuckle, Ryan. God.
But it's Moose Knuckle Radio, and that debuts, of course, October 1st. They will be bi-weekly to start out every other Tuesday, and that is brought to you by the creative genius, quite frankly, of Justin Clayton, of Don Warren, and, of course... someone we heard from at the beginning of this show, the Knight Rider, Robert Knight. So this is their intro, Moose Knuckle Radio, and we'll be right back. This one's not as long.
Yeah.
It's not a catchphrase. It is a way of life. You guys know, and everybody else knows, that one man can make a difference.
Dude, are you kidding me? March for Death is probably the greatest Steven Seagal movie ever. In the very end, in the final fight, not only does he gouge a guy's eyes out, he throws him through a wall, breaks his back, and then throws him down an elevator shaft. Greatest death scene ever.
For Moose Knuckle Radio, and that's, like I said, like Dean said, bi-weekly, Tuesday nights, 9:30, and something about that theme song, that, if, for those who don't know, that's from Top Gun, one of the crappiest, greatest crappiest movies out there. I liked that song so much as a kid. I had the Nintendo. I had the Top Gun video game. Yeah, whenever so I'd pop that game in, I wouldn't hit start. I'd listen to the theme song. So for 2 minutes, I'd sit there and listen to the title screen.
That's Castellucci is in complete agreement with you as well.
Oh, that's New Entrance theme.
You're stealing it. He's stealing it. Wow. My goodness, it is an amazing night. We had an amazing weekend. Very quickly, I'm going to go to Omega. This is the MVP of this past weekend. Omega, who was it in your eyes?
I think my MVP would be Xavier Cross. Great, great work all around.
Dan, how about yourself?
Me, for not crapping myself in the ring.
I have to go. It's really not that scary once you... I know you haven't been, you know, in there as much, but it's not that bad. You kind
no,
of start, and I think you would agree with me once you, when,
oh,
when
yeah.
I mean, it's just this thing, that, you know, it's you kind of work off of it, and it's a great thing. And
no, once I got once I was out, I wanted to go back in. I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely, my MVP of the weekend is kind of a tie. It's my two favorite English guys. That's of course Harry Barnett and Xavier Cross. So they were my MVPs of the week. And of course, Omega, where can the fine people find you?
If the people want to be enlightened, they can follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
In the doghouse. I got in trouble.
Okay. But where can people find you on Twitter, Dan?
Dan Law 83.
And Obey Puck Show.
Right? Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes, Obey Puck Show.
And, of course, I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also follow the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. Follow the Twitter, HIACTalkRadio. Also, follow that Facebook. It's Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. And, of course, we are on Stitcher and iTunes. And join us this Saturday as we will be doing a live pre-show at On Point Wrestling, 1030 Delta Drive. Until Saturday night.